I'm on Yahoo. You're down there watching.
How you doing, man? How are you? Anyway. Gentlemen, a lot of people have been waiting for this night.
Joe Biden.
Our first Supreme Court. President Trump, you nominated Amy Coney Barrett over the weekend to succeed the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court. You say the Constitution is clear about your obligation and the Senate's to consider a nominee to the court. Vice President Biden, you say that this is an effort by the president and Republicans to jam through on an appointment. And
someone's got to send Chris Wallace the ambulance.
My first question to both of you tonight, why are you right in the argument you make and your opponent wrong? And where do you think a Justice Barrett would take the court? President Trump, in this first segment, you go first, 2 minutes.
I will tell you very simply, we won the election. Elections have consequences. We have the Senate, we have the White House, and we have a phenomenal nominee, respected by all, top academic, good in every way, good in every way. In fact, some of her biggest
go ahead and turn your mics off for now.
Are very liberal people from Notre Dame.
Can you hear?
So I think she's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I can hear.
Plenty of time. Even if we did it after.
I'm trying to get so you guys can hear it. If you can't hear it through our feed, you need to.
I can hear it.
Oh, you can?
Perfect, yeah.
There's
anybody that has served on that court. We really feel that. We have a professor at Notre Dame, highly respected by all, said she's the single greatest student he's ever had. He's been a professor for a long time at a great school. And we won the election, and therefore we have the right to choose her. And very few people knowingly would say otherwise. And by the way, the Democrats, they wouldn't even think about not doing it. If they had, the only difference is they're trying to be first. There's no way they would give it up. They had Merrick Garland, but the problem is they didn't have the election, so they were stopped. And probably that would happen in reverse also. Definitely would happen in reverse. So we won the election, and we have the right to do it, Chris.
President Trump, thank you. Same question to you, Vice President Biden. You have 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, thank you for doing this. Looking forward to this, Mr. President.
Thank you, Joe.
The American people have a right to have a say in who the Supreme Court nominee is. And that say occurs when they vote for a United States senators and when they vote for the President of the United States. They're not going to get that chance now because we're in the middle of an election already. The election has already started. Tens of thousands of people have already voted. And so the thing that should happen is we should wait. We should wait and see what the outcome of this election is. Because that's the only way the American people get to express their view is by who they elect as president and who they elect as vice president. Now, what's at stake here is the president's made it clear he wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. He's been running on that, he ran on that, and he's been governing on that. He's in the Supreme Court right now trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which will strip 20 million people from having insurance, health insurance now, if it goes into court. The justice, and I have nothing, I'm not opposed to the justice, she seems like a very fine person. But she's written before she went on the bench, which is her right, that she thinks that the Affordable Care Act is not constitutional. The other thing is on the court, and if it's struck down, what happens? Women's rights are fundamentally changed. Once again, a woman could be helped and pay more money because she has a pre-existing condition of pregnancy. They were able to charge a woman more for the same exact procedure a man gets. And that ended when we, in fact, passed the Affordable Care Act. And there's 100 million people who have pre-existing conditions, and they'll be taken away as well. Those pre-existing conditions.
Earpiece check, 1, 2, earpiece.
So it's just not appropriate to do this before this election. If he wins the election and the Senate is Democrat or Republican, then he goes forward. If not, we should wait until February. All right.
There aren't 100 million people with pre-existing conditions. As far as the say is concerned, the people already had their say. Okay, Justice Ginsburg said very powerfully, very strongly, at some point, 10 years ago or so, she said a president and the Senate is elected for a period of time, but a president's elected for 4 years. We're not elected for 3 years. I'm not elected for 3 years. So we have the Senate, we have a president.
It's elected to the next
during
election.
That period of time, during that period of time, we have an opening. I'm not elected for 3 years. I'm elected for 4 years. And the 100 million people, Joe, the 100 million people is totally wrong. I don't know where you got that number. The bigger problem that you have is that you're going to extinguish 180 million people with their private health care that they're very
That's
happy
simply
with.
Not true.
Well, you're certainly going to socialist. You're going to socialist medicine.
We're now into, gentlemen, we're now into open discussion.
Open discussion.
Open discussion. Yes, I agree. Go ahead, Vice President.
Number one, he knows that what I proposed. What I proposed is that we expand Obamacare and we increase it. We do not wipe any. And one of the big debates we had with 23 of my colleagues trying to win the nomination that I won, were saying that Biden wanted to allow people to have private insurance still. They can. They do. They will under my proposal.
It's not what you've said, but and it's not what your party has said.
That is simply
your party doesn't say it. Your party wants to go socialist medicine.
My party is
and
me.
Socialist
right
healthcare.
Now, I am
and
the
they're going to dominate
party.
You, Joe. You know that.
I am the Democratic Party right now. The platform of the
not
Democratic Party
Harris.
Is what I, in fact, approved of. What I approved of. Now, here's the deal. The deal is that it's going
to
wipe.
Not according to Harris.
And by the way, the 200,000 people that have died on his watch, how many of those have survived? Well, there's 7 million people that contracted COVID. What does it mean for them going forward if you strike down the Affordable Care Act?
And Joe, you've had 308,000 military people dying because you couldn't provide them proper health care in the military. So don't tell me
I'm
about this.
I'm happy to talk about
this. And if you were here, it wouldn't be 200. It would be 2 million people because you were very late on the draw. You
late
didn't want me
draw.
To ban China, which was heavily infected. You didn't want me to ban
all right, we're, gentlemen,
Europe,
we're,
which
no,
was heavily infected. You would have been
President,
much later, Joe.
Mr. President,
much later.
Mr. President.
You're talking about 2 million
You're making great points. We can't have you make those. Stop.
We're going to talk about COVID in the next segment, but go ahead.
You can't talk too much about truth. Stop it.
President also.
Well, it's open discussion or it's not.
That's on the ballot as well in the court. In the court. And so that's also at stake right now. And so the election is all.
You don't know it's
begun.
On the ballot. Why is it in the ballot?
Because
why is it on the ballot? It's not on the ballot.
We met Jane Roe on the Ron Paul campaign trail in the arena. She was endorsed by Paul.
View on Roe v. Wade.
I don't know.
View.
Well, all right. Let's talk.
Norma McCorvey.
We got a lot to unpack here, gentlemen. We got a lot of time. So on health care, and then we'll come back to Roe v. Wade.
All right.
Mr. President, the Supreme Court will hear a case a week after the election in which the Trump administration, along with 18 state attorneys general, are seeking to overturn
That's right.
Obamacare, to end Obamacare. You have spent the last...
Because they want to give good health care.
If I may ask my question, sir.
Good health care.
Over the last 4 years, you have promised to repeal and replace Obamacare, but you have never in these 4 years come up with a plan a comprehensive plan
yes,
to replace Obamacare.
Of course I have.
Well,
I got rid of the individual mandate.
I'm going to give you an
Excuse
opportunity.
Me. I got rid of the individual mandate, which was a big chunk of
Obamacare.
That is absolutely a big thing. That was the worst part of Obamacare. Chris, that was the worst part of Obamacare.
Let me ask my question.
Well, I'll ask Joe.
The
individual mandate was the most unpopular aspect of Obamacare. I got rid of it.
I'd like you
and we will protect people with
pre-existing I'm the moderator of this debate, and I would like you to let me ask.
Can they kick him out?
And you can answer. You, in the course of these 4 years, have never come up with a comprehensive plan to replace Obamacare. And just this last Thursday, you signed a largely.
It sounds like Chris Wallace is a policymaker.
To protect people.
No.
What state is he elected in?
5 days before this debate. So my question, sir, is what is the Trump health care plan?
Well, first of all, I guess I'm debating you, not him, but that's okay. I'm not surprised. Let me just tell you something. That I'm cutting drug prices. I'm going with favored nations, which no president has the courage to do because you're going against Big Pharma. Drug prices will be coming down 80 or 90%. You could have done it during your 47-year period in government, but you didn't do it. And nobody's done it. So we're cutting all of the things that we've done. Insulin. I give you an example. Insulin. It was destroying families, destroying people. The cost. I'm getting it for so cheap. It's like water. You want to know the truth. So cheap. Take a look at all of the drugs that what we're doing, prescription drug prices. We're going to allow our governors now to go to other countries to buy drugs because they pay just a tiny fraction.
As I say, this is open discussion.
No,
let me ask
this
you
is
one
he really is arguing with the moderator's arguing with them.
Pick up on one of your points to ask the vice president.
No!
Points out that you would like to add a public option.
Don't let him talk.
Yes. The argument that he makes and other Republicans make is that that is going to end private insurance.
It is
and
not.
Well, if I can ask you the question, it will
not
end.
What your party says, by the way.
It will end private insurance and create a government takeover of health care.
It does not. It's only for those people who are so poor they qualify for Medicaid. They can get that free in most states, except governors who want to deny people who are poor Medicaid. Anyone who qualifies for Medicare would. Medicaid would automatically be enrolled in the public option. The vast majority of the American people would still not be in that option, number one.
Joe, you agreed with Bernie Sanders, left, on the manifesto,
manifesto.
That gives you socialized medicine.
Look, hey, I'm not going to listen to him. The fact of the matter is, I beat Bernie Sanders.
Not by much.
I beat him a whole hell of a lot. I mean,
Pocahontas would have left 2 days early. You would have lost every primary.
All he knows how to do
is Super Tuesday. You got very lucky.
Here's the deal. I got very lucky. I'm going to get very lucky tonight as well. Tonight I'm going to make sure because
he needs to stop bickering and just focus on, you know, you couldn't manage your way out of a paper bag in 47 years. I just keep reiterating. Hammer.
He's a liar.
But you
I just
agree.
Want to make
you're
sure.
You're the liar.
You're a liar. No, you're the liar. You're liars.
I want to make sure.
Can you let him finish, sir?
He doesn't know how to do that. He has,
You'd
you know, you pick
be surprised.
The
Go
wrong
ahead,
guy, the wrong.
Is this 90-day fiance?
Here's
Bernie
the deal.
Bernie Sanders said the manifesto.
The whole idea.
Let him.
There is no manifesto, number
Please
one.
Please let him speak, Mr.
Number
President.
Two.
He just lost the left.
Number two.
There is no manifesto.
Lost the left. You agreed with Bernie Sanders on a plan.
It's only the communist manifesto.
Do you have an idea what this clown's doing?
Socialized medicine.
Mr. President.
Well, I'll tell you what. He is not for any help for people needing health care. Because he, in fact, already has cost 10 million people their health care that they had from their employers because of his recession. Number one. Number two, 20 million people getting health care through Obamacare now that he wants to take it away. He won't ever look you in the eye and say that's what he wants.
Got to admit, whatever they have Joe on is keeping him fairly sharp. You got to give it where it's due. And they're not CGIing his
Man, no drug test.
He's never offered a plan.
To an extent.
He has
Obamacare,
never done a single thing.
As you might
thing.
Know, but probably don't.
Gentlemen, you realize if you're
good,
both
Joe,
speaking at the same
good,
time.
And it's too expensive.
Let the president's. Go ahead, sir.
Obamacare is no good. We made it better. And I had a choice to make very early on. We took away the individual mandate. We guarantee pre-existing conditions, but took away the individual mandate. Listen, this is the way it is. And that destroyed that. They shouldn't even call it Obamacare. Then I had a choice to make. Do I let my people run it really well or badly? If I run it badly, they'll probably blame him, but they'll blame me. But more importantly, I want to help people. Okay? I said, you got to run it so well.
That's what
and I just had a meeting with them. They said, the problem is no matter how well you run Obamacare, it's a disaster. It's too expensive.
Okay.
Premiums
you,
are too high,
that's
and it doesn't work.
That's
so we do want to get rid of it.
Chris,
we want to get rid of it.
I understand it, sir, but I have to give you roughly equal time.
Good.
Please let the vice president talk.
Good.
He has no plan for health care.
Of course we do.
He
sends out wishful thinking. He has executive orders that have no power. He hasn't lowered drug costs.
Trump definitely needs to say Gina more.
Since he got elected, he has none. Like almost everything else he talks about, he does not have a plan. He doesn't have a plan. And the fact is, this man doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right,
he's
I have one final question for you.
Sure.
Mr. Vice President. If Senate Republicans, we were talking originally about the Supreme Court here, if Senate Republicans go ahead and confirm Justice Barrett, there has been talk about ending the filibuster or even packing the court, adding to the 9 justices there. You call this a distraction by the president, but in fact,
come on, man.
The president brought up by some of your Democratic colleagues in the Congress. So my question to you is, you
Chris
have
in
the
equal
past
time.
To talk about it. Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you
is playing hardball now?
The filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take on that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now. Make sure you, in fact, let people know you're a senator. I'm not going to answer the question because the question is,
radical left.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen, who is on your list, Joe?
Come on, man.
Gentlemen, I think.
Did he just say, would you shut up?
We have ended.
We called him a clown earlier.
Yeah, it's, anything unpresidential.
Answer the question, Joe.
Keep yapping. Called him a clown, told him to shut up.
Tell him he's a liar.
You've done nothing. They understand.
All right.
I'd love for Trump to point out, I just want to point out that Fox News is owned by an Australian liberal who's friends, Lachlan Murdoch, who's friends with Alexander Soros, who's a Hillary bundler. Just like the fourth, I just put that on the record.
That's how you get on TV. People have died. Even after we produce a vaccine, experts say that it could be months or even years before we come back to anything approaching
decades.
My question for both of you is, based on what you have said and done so far and what you have said you would do starting in 2021, why should the American people trust you more than...
Surprised they don't have cardboard cutouts in the stadium.
Prices going forward. In this case, the question goes...
How much do people pay for getting those then?
Good luck. 200,000 dead. As you said, over 7 million infected in the United States. We, in fact, have 5%, 4% of the world's population, 20% of the deaths. 40,000 people a day are contracting COVID. In addition to that, about between 750 and 1,000 people a day are dying. When he was presented with that number, he said, it is what it is. Well, it is what it is because you are who you are. That's why it is.
Clearly, we need forced medicine and travel passport documents.
He hasn't laid out.
So COVID doesn't spread.
All the way back in February, how serious this crisis was. He knew it was a deadly disease. What did he do? He's on tape as acknowledging he knew it. He said he didn't tell us or give people a warning of it because he didn't want to panic the American people. You don't panic. He panicked. In addition to that, what did he do? He went in and we were insisting that the Chinese, the people we had on the ground in China should be able to go to Wuhan and determine for themselves how dangerous this was. He did not even ask Xi to do that. He told us what a great job Xi was doing. He said we owe him a debt of gratitude for being so transparent with us. And what did he do then? He then did nothing. He waited and waited and waited. He still doesn't have a plan. I laid out back in March exactly what we should be doing. And I laid out again in July what we should be doing. We should be providing all the protective gear possible. We should be providing the money the House has passed in order to be able to go out and get people the help they need to keep their businesses open. Open schools, it costs a lot of money. You should get out of your bunker and get out of the sand trap and get in your golf course and go in the Oval Office and bring together the Democrats and Republicans and fund what needs to be done now to save lives.
So if we would have listened to you.
You have 2 minutes, sir.
If we would have listened to you, the country would have been left wide open. Millions of people would have died, not 200,000. And one person is too much. It's China's fault. It should have never happened. They stopped it from going in, but it was China's fault. And by the way, when you talk about numbers, you don't know how many people died in China. You don't know how many people died in Russia. You don't know how many people died in India. They don't exactly give you a straight count, just so you understand. But if you look at what we've done, I closed it, and you said he's xenophobic. He's a racist, and he's xenophobic. Because you didn't think I should have closed our country. Wait a minute.
It says 2 minutes.
You didn't think we should have closed our country because you thought it was terrible. You wouldn't have closed it for another 2 months. By my doing it early, in fact, Dr. Fauci said, President Trump saved thousands of lives. Many of you Democrat governors said, President Trump did a phenomenal job. We worked with the governor. Oh, really? Go take a look. The governors said I did a phenomenal job. Most of them said that. In fact, people that would not be necessarily on my side.
Well, most of the deaths came from all the Democratic places.
Phenomenal job. We did. We got the gowns. We got the masks. We made the ventilators. You wouldn't have made ventilators. And now we're weeks away from a vaccine. We're doing therapy.
You need a ventilator.
People are dying when they get sick. Far fewer people are dying. We've done a great job. The only thing I haven't done a good job, and that's because of the fake news. No matter what you say to them, they give you bad press on it. It's just fake news. They give you good press, they give me bad press, because that's the way it is, unfortunately. But let me just tell you something. I don't care. I've gotten used to it. But I'll tell you, Joe, you could never have done the job that we did. You don't have it in your blood. You could have never done that job.
I know how to do the job. I know how to get the job.
Well, you didn't do very well in swine flu. H1N1, you were a disaster. Your own chief of staff said you were a disaster.
14,000 people died, not 200,000. There was no economic recession.
Sir, you made a far
less lethal disease.
You made a point. Let him answer.
And there was no one. There's no. We didn't shut down the economy. This is his economy that's being he shut down. The reason it's shut down is because, look, you folks at home, how many of you got up this morning and had an empty chair at the kitchen table because someone died of COVID?
Nobody. I need to know. He's going to say he just shut down because he didn't answer.
So you could, in fact, say goodbye.
Nobody. That happened to nobody. More
people. He's doing what he's supposed to. So he's talking past the camera to the people. Trump's got to do a little bit more of that.
How many of you lost people to starvation this year?
Wear a mask. We can
9 million people.
Numbers. Just a mask. By the way, in terms of the whole notion of a vaccine, we're for a vaccine, but I don't trust him at all, nor do you. I know you don't. What we trust is a scientist.
You don't trust Dr. Johnson, Fauci. Johnson, Pfizer.
Let me move on to questions about the future, because you both have touched on two of the questions I'm going to ask. Focusing on the future first, President Trump, you have repeatedly either contradicted or been at odds with some of your government's own top scientists. The week before last, the head of the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Redfield, said it would be summer before the vaccine would become generally available to the public. You said that he was confused and mistaken. Those were your two words.
Yeah.
But Dr. Slaoui, the head of your Operation Warp Speed, has said exactly the same thing. Are they both wrong?
Well, I've spoken to the companies, and we can have it a lot sooner. It's a very political thing, because people like this would rather make it political than save lives. God. It is a very political thing. I've spoken to Pfizer. I've spoken to all of the people that you have to speak to. We have great Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and others. They can go faster than that by a lot. Become very political because the left, or I don't know if
so,
I call
so
him
you're
left, I don't know what I call
the
him.
Head of your operation, Warp Speed, Dr. Smiley.
I disagree with him. Yeah, no, I disagree with both of them. And he didn't say that. He said it could be there, but it could also be much sooner. I had him in my office two days ago.
He talked about the summer, sir, before it's generally available. Just like
he said,
Dr.
it's Redfield. A possibility that we'll have the answer before November 1st. It could also
I'm
be
talking
after
about
that.
It's generally available.
We're going to deliver it right away. We have the military all set up logistically. They're all set up. We have our military that delivers soldiers, and they can do 200,000 a day.
Pass the camera.
Roll up your sleeves, boys.
By Easter, this would be gone away. By the warm weather, it'd be gone. Miraculous, like a miracle. And by the way, maybe you could inject some bleach in your arm, and that would take care of it. This is the
that
same man.
That was said sarcastically, you know that. That was said sarcastically.
And so here's the deal. This man is talking about a vaccine. Every serious company is talking about maybe having a vaccine done by the end of the year. But the distribution of that vaccine will not occur until sometime beginning or the middle of next year to get it out, if we get the vaccine. And pray God we will. Pray God we will.
Mr. Vice President, I want to pick up the...
I want to know if he's going to be mandating. That's all I care about. Vaccine to vaccine. Do I have to take it?
President Trump, in fact,
know the answer.
The running mate, Senator Harris, saying the public health experts, quote, will be muzzled, will be suppressed. Given the fact that polls already show that people are concerned about the vaccine and are reluctant to take it, are you and your running mate, Senator Harris, contributing to that fear?
No more than the question you just asked him. You pointed out he puts pressure. and disagrees with his own scientists.
But you're saying everybody you can't, knows, Senator Harris is saying you can't trust the scientists.
No, well, no, no, you can trust the scientists. She didn't say that. You can't
she,
trust
She the, said the public health experts, quote, will be muzzled, will be suppressed.
Well, that's what he's going to try to do, but there's millions of scientists, there's thousands of scientists out there, like here at this great hospital, that don't work for him. Their job doesn't depend on him. That's not, they're the people, they're, and by
I
the way.
To the scientists that are in charge.
By the way.
They will have the vaccine very soon.
Let him finish.
Do you believe for a moment what he's telling you in light of all the lies he's told you about the whole issue relating to COVID? He still hasn't even acknowledged that he knew this was happening, knew how dangerous it was going to be back in February, and he didn't even tell you. He's on record as saying it. He panicked or he just looked at the stock market. One of the two, because guess what? A lot of people died and a lot more are going to die unless he gets a lot smarter, a lot quicker.
So, Mr. President?
Could you use the word smart? So you said you went to Delaware State, but you forgot the name of your college. You didn't go to Delaware State. You graduated either the lowest or almost the lowest in your class. Don't ever
Third to lowest at Syracuse.
Don't ever use that word.
Oh, give me a break.
Because you know what? There's nothing smart about you, Joe. 47 years you've done nothing.
Let's have this debate.
And if you would have had, let me just tell you something, Joe. No, if you would have had the charge of what I was put through, I had to close the greatest economy in the history of our country. And by the way, now it's being built again.
You see,
and it's
going up to the economy in the next
history of the world. Sorry.
Going up fast.
Okay. When it comes to how the virus has been handled so far, the two of you have taken very different approaches, and this is going to affect how the virus is handled going forward by whichever of you ends up becoming the next president. I want to quickly go through several of those. Reopenings. Vice President Biden, you have been much more reluctant than President Trump about reopening the economy and schools. Why, sir?
Because he doesn't have a plan. If I were running, I'd know what the plan is. You've got to provide these businesses the ability to have the money to be able to reopen with the
people. If you're running?
As well as with the sanitation they need. You have to provide them
plastic. Tell that to Nancy Pelosi.
Well, he just shushed for a minute.
Tell it to Nancy Pelosi and Schumer.
Nancy Pelosi and Schumer, they have a plan. He won't even meet with them. The Republicans won't meet with the Senate. And he sits in his golf course. And think about it.
You probably play more than I do, Joe.
What about this question of reopenings and the fact?
Well, he wants to shut down this country. And I want to keep it open. And we did a great thing by shutting it down. Wait a minute, Joe. Let me shut you down for a second, Joe, just for one second.
Yes.
He wants to shut down the country. We just went through it. We had to because we didn't know anything about the disease. Now we found that elderly people with heart problems and diabetes and different problems are very, very vulnerable. We learned a lot. Young children aren't. Even younger people aren't. We've learned a lot. But he wants to shut it down. More people will be hurt by continuing. If you look at Pennsylvania, if you look at certain states that have been shut down, they have Democrat governors all. One of the reasons they're shut down is because they want to keep it shut down until after the election on November 3rd.
I want to move on to another subject. But those states are not doing well.
Seems like an emergency.
Right. I've got to respond to that.
President
Trump's got to talk through the camera of the people. Pennsylvania governor, open up your state now. Don't let Joe keep everybody at home.
And in fact, recently you talked right through the issue of waiters touching their masks and touching plates. Are you questioning the efficacy of masks?
You have to understand, if you look, I mean, I have a mask right here. I put a mask on, when I think I need it. Tonight, as an example, everybody's had a test and you've had social distancing and all of the things that you have to. But I wear masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from me, and he shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Vice President Biden, go ahead, sir.
Look, the way to open businesses is give them the wherewithal to be able to open. We provided money.
But I was asking you, sir, about masks.
Well, masks make a big difference. His own head of the CDC said if we just wore masks between now, if everybody wore masks in social distance between now and January, we'd probably save up to 100,000 lives. It matters.
And they've also said the opposite.
No serious person said the opposite.
Then no, we'll say, well, look, serious.
Look at what Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci said.
What about the Swedes? What about the Swedes, boys?
And he changed his mind. He said, mask good. I'm okay with masks.
I want to ask you both about one last subject, because your different approaches has even affected the way that you have campaigned. President Trump, you're holding large rallies with crowds packed together, thousands of people.
Outside.
Mostly peaceful protests.
Vice President Biden, you are holding much smaller events with...
Because nobody will show up.
People with...
It's true. Nobody shows up to his rallies.
All right. In any case, why you...
That's Rich Paul.
Why you not? You go first, sir.
Because people want to hear what I have to say. I mean,
but are you not worried about a great job as a president,
and I'll have 25, 35,000 people show up at airports. We use airports.
Are you not worried about the disease issue, sir?
Well, so far, we have had no problem whatsoever. It's outside. That's a big difference, according to the experts. And we do them outside. We have tremendous crowds, as you see. I mean, and literally on 24 hours notice, and Joe does the circles and has three people someplace.
Okay.
By the way, did you see one of the last big rallies he had? And a reporter came up to him to ask him a question. He said, no, stand back. Put on a mask. Have you been tested? I'm way far away from those other people. That's what he said. I'm going to be okay. He's not worried about you. He's not worried about the people out there breathing in one another.
We've had no negative effect. We've had 35, 40,000 people at these rallies.
Just quickly finish up, because I want to move on to our next.
Yes, I would. He's been totally irresponsible the way in which he has handled the social distancing and people wearing masks, basically encouraging them not to.
I can't believe this is a presidential debate on this stupid crap.
Gentlemen, can we move on to the economy?
Yes.
The economy is, I think it's fair to say.
That's how we take people's thoughts away from all the big problems.
In the second quarter, the unemployment rate fell.
Think about the billions and billions of dollars spent on political advertising, all these shows, only targeting 3% of the voters
they had expected.
Just the middle 3%. All for them.
Recovery. Vice President Biden, you
like who right now is actually watching this to decide who you're going to vote for?
Does
like.
That mean to the American people in terms of the economy? President Trump, in this segment, you go first.
So we built the greatest economy in history. We closed it down because of the China plague. When the plague came in, we closed it down, which was very hard psychologically to do. He didn't think we should close it down, and he was wrong. And again, 2 million people would be dead now instead of. Still, 204,000 people is too much. One person is too much. Should have never happened from China. But what happened is we closed it down, and now we're reopening, and we're doing record business. We had 10.4 million people in
that
we've put back into the workforce. That's a record the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. And he wants to close
it down. You have the greatest Chinese trade deficit ever.
A lot of people between drugs and alcohol and depression. When you start shutting it down, you take a look at what's happening at some of your Democrat-run states where they have these tough shutdowns. I mean, and I'm telling you,
I hate to say it, but we're voting between new world order onset in 90 days or new world order onset in 4 years and 90 days.
They think they're hurting us.
Pretty much comes out of that.
People know what to do. They can social distance. They can wash the hands. They can wear masks. They can do whatever they want. But they got to open these states up. When you look at North Carolina, when you look, and these governors are under siege, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and a couple of others, you got to open these states up. It's not fair. You're talking about almost, it's like being in prison. And you look at what's going on with divorce, look at what's going on with alcoholism and drugs. It's a very, very sad thing. And he'll close down the whole country. This guy will close down the whole country and destroy our country. Our country is coming back incredibly well, setting records as it does it. We don't need somebody to come in and say, let's shut it down.
All right. Your 2 minutes, sir. We're now moved to you.
Record prices for 2x4s.
As I said, posing the question, the president.
$7 for 2x4s, $25 for a sheet of plywood. Are you kidding me?
The difference is millionaires and billionaires like him in the middle of the COVID crisis have done very well. Another billionaires have made another $300 billion because of his profligate tax proposal, and he only focused on the market. But you folks at home, you folks living in Scranton and Claymont and all the small towns and working class towns in America, how well are you doing?
This guy paid a total of $750.
Exactly the point that Ernie and I have been making for like 4 years.
You've agreed to the 2 minutes, so please let him have it.
Do I get my time back? The fact is that he has, in fact, worked on this in a way that he's going to be the first president of the United States to leave office, having fewer jobs in his administration than when he became president. Fewer jobs than when he became president. First one in American history. Secondly, the people who have lost their jobs are those people who have been on the front lines, those people who have been saving our lives, those people who have been out there dying, people who have been putting themselves in the way to make sure that we could all try to make it. And the idea that he is insisting that we go forward and open when you have almost half the states in America with a significant increase in COVID deaths and COVID cases in the United States of America. And he wants to open it up more. Why does he want to open it up? Why doesn't he take care of the American? You can't fix the economy until you fix the COVID crisis. And he has no intention of doing anything about making it better for you all at home in terms of your health and your safety. Schools, why aren't schools open? Because it costs a lot of money to open them safely. You know, they were going to give, his administration was going to give the teachers and school students masks. And then they decided, no, couldn't do that because it's not a national emergency. Not a national emergency. They've done nothing to help small businesses. Nothing. They're closing. One in six is now gone. He ought to get on the job and take care of the needs of the American people so we can open safely.
All right. Your time is up, sir. Well, we are going to get to...
I have to respond to that.
Well, you both had 2 minutes, sir.
Excuse me. He made a statement.
So did you.
People want their schools... No, people want their schools open. They don't want to be shut down. They don't want their state shut down. They want their restaurants. I look at New York. It's so sad what's happening in New York. It's almost like a ghost town. And I'm not sure it can ever recover what they've done in New York. People want their places open. They want to get back to their lives.
People
They'll
want
be
to
careful,
be safe.
But they want their schools open.
Okay.
I'm the one
safe.
That brought back football. By the way, I brought back Big Ten football. It was me, and I'm very happy to do
me.
It. All right. People of Ohio are very proud of me. And you know
we're
how
get
I found out?
When we're, gentlemen, we're going to get
I made the call.
Plans going forward in a moment.
Biden wants to take your balls.
As you well know, there's a new report that in 2016, the year you were elected president, and 2017, your first year as president, that you paid $750 a year in federal income tax each of those years. I know that you pay.
I do say fake news, sir. He's very proud of it.
Question. See. Is it true that you paid $750?
Here we go. All liberal arts majors are now experts in international finance, business, and accounting.
Okay.
Income tax. And let me just tell you, there was a story in one of the papers that I paid $38 million 1 year. I paid $27 million
Show us your tax returns.
I went, you'll see it as soon as it's finished. You'll see it. You know, if you want to do, go to the Board of Elections. There's a 118-page or so report that says everything.
That's
I have
some gall for Biden to say, show us your tax returns.
The assets
wow.
are really good. And we have a very, we have a, we, I built
Sir,
a great
I'm asking
company.
You a specific question, which
Biden
is.
Biden had a negative net worth until like a few years ago.
No, Mr. President, I'm asking you a question.
I paid the same amount of taxes as that guy did last year.
Income tax in 2016 and 2017.
Millions of dollars.
You paid millions of dollars.
And Biden wrote the rules,
millions of dollars. And you'll
Trump
get to,
played by him.
And you'll get to see it. But let me just tell you, Chris, let me just tell you something that. It was the tax laws.
Well, we heard taxation is theft.
There he goes.
I was a private developer. I was a private business people. Like every other private person, unless they're stupid, they go through the laws. And that's
I just got to say it. Biden, you've that's never had a regular job in your whole life.
Appreciation.
You never had one.
For tax credits, we build a building and we get tax credits like the hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. You get a massive, which by the way, was given to me by the Obama administration, if you can believe that. Now the man got fired after that happened. But
Vice President Biden, you want to respond?
Look, the tax code that made him, put him in a position that he pays less tax than a school teacher on the money a school teacher makes is because of he says he's smart because he can take advantage of the tax code. And he does take advantage of the tax code. That's why I'm going to eliminate the Trump tax cuts. And I'm going to eliminate those tax cuts.
and make sure that we invest in the people who, in fact,
we're going to tax
friends with eliminating the tax cuts. Need
help. But why didn't you do it over the last 25 years?
Because you were president. Because you weren't president screwing things up.
You were a senator. And
you're the worst president America has ever had. Come on.
Let me just tell you, Joe. I've done more in 47 months. I've done more than you've done in 47 years, Joe. We've done things that you never even thought of doing, including fixing the broken military that you gave me, including taking care of your vets.
Mr. President, we're talking about the economy. I'd like to ask you about your plans going forward.
Oh, we're talking about COVID.
Because, Mr. President, your economic plan, if you were to be elected president, focuses a lot on big government, big taxes, big spending. I want to focus first on the taxes. You propose more than $4 trillion over a decade in new taxes on individuals making more than $400,000 a year and on corporations.
Brave.
That kind of an increase in taxes is going to hurt the economy as it's just coming out of a recession.
Well, just take a look at what has the analysis been done by
Merkel. We're going to do what France did, so everybody's going to leave America.
7 million more jobs than his in 4 years, number one. And number two, it would create an additional $1 trillion in economic growth because it would be about buying American. That we have to, we're going to make, this federal government spends $600 billion a year on everything.
The private bond market isn't even buying our debt anymore.
It is the right of the people to offer.
Does any of this matter?
Sure that every penny of that has to be made by a company.
But respectfully, sir, I'm talking about taxes, not spending.
By the way, I'm going to eliminate significant number of the tax. I'm going to make the
we're going to make sure
it shouldn't be 21.
You know, government size to GDP will be 60%.
21 companies.
That's where we're heading here.
Fortune 500 who don't pay a single penny in tax, making billions of dollars.
Why didn't you do it
billions
before
of
when you were vice president because, with Obama?
Because you, in fact,
you count subcontractors. And subcontractors were already there.
And,
Mr. President, let me pick up on that. You would continue your free market approach, lower taxes, more deregulation, correct?
Not lower taxes, American people.
But in Obama's, you talk about the economy booming. It turns out that in Obama's final 3 years as president, more jobs were created, 1.5 million more jobs than in the first 3 years of your presidency.
They had the slowest recovery since 1929. It was the slowest recovery. Also, they took over something that was down here. All you had to do is turn on the lights and you pick up a lot. But they had the slowest economic recovery since 1929. Let me tell you the stock market. When the stock market goes up, that means jobs. It also means 401ks. If you got in, if you ever became president with your ideas, you want to terminate my taxes, I'll tell you what, you'll lose half of the companies that have poured in here will leave, and plenty
half
of companies that are already here, they'll leave for other places. They will leave, and you will have a depression, of which you've never seen.
Look, Mr. we Vice inherited Brother. The worst recession short of a depression in American history. I was asked to bring it back.
Why didn't we go after Biden more and just call it the Biden Depression?
We handed him a booming economy. He blew it.
It wasn't booming. It was the weakest recovery since
1929. You were in a depression, boys.
When there was record low unemployment before COVID?
Yeah, but because what he did, even before COVID, manufacturing went in the hole. Manufacturing went in a hole.
Excuse me, Chris. Wait.
Number two.
Chris.
Number three.
They said it would take. No, you're number two.
No.
Chris.
You're number two.
It's a miracle to bring back manufacturing. I brought back 700,000 jobs. They brought back nothing. They gave up on manufacturing.
We did not.
Standard fare.
I'm the guy that brought back the automobile industry.
All right, let him
back. We brought back. I was asked to bring
back. Trump's got to stop winning debates and winning people points.
He blew it. They're gone. He blew it. And in fact, they're going.
Ohio had the best year it's ever had last year. Michigan had the best year they've ever had.
That is not
many
true.
Many car companies came in from Germany, from Japan, went to Michigan, went to Ohio.
They're not having
and they didn't come in with you.
Mr. Vice President, go ahead.
And so you take a look at what he's actually done. He's done very little. His trade deals are the same way. He talks about these great trade deals. You know, he talks about the art of the deal. China's perfected the art of the steel. We have a higher deficit.
Sure, it's everybody, obvious to everybody here that we're clearly on the decline side of the Empire State.
Ate your lunch, Joe, and no wonder your son goes in and he takes out billions of dollars, takes out billions of dollars to manage. He makes millions of dollars. And also, while we're at it, why is it, just out of curiosity, the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it? What did he do with Borisov to deserve $183,000?
None of that is true. Let him answer.
None of that is true.
Oh, really?
Totally. But no, Mr. President, please.
Totally discredited.
It's bunk. Malarkey.
By the way.
$3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got $3.5 million.
It is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr. President?
He answered it.
Please. He got 3.49.
Exactly. Forgot a couple of cents there.
$83,000 a month with no experience in energy.
Mr. Biden, isn't it true that your brother is Whitey Bulger's former business partner?
Let him answer.
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth. His position has been totally, thoroughly discredited.
By who? And the media.
By everybody. Well, by the, media, by our allies, by the World Bank.
Our allies. The World Bank.
Everyone has discredited.
IMF.
Mr. President,
who testified.
Federal Reserve. BIS.
United Nations. FSB.
Okay, we'll talk about all this after the debate. Don't overtalk them too much.
I did my job, and I did it very well.
Oh, really?
I did it honorably.
I'd like to know who they are.
I'll give you the list of the people who tested.
No, go ahead, sir.
Sure, you've already fired most of them because they.
How long is this thing supposed to be, anyway?
With you,
go ahead. You got the wait a minute. You got
90 minutes or till Biden collapses, I think.
Excuse me. This,
hey, let me just tell you.
No. I'm Mr. President.
Mr. Biden, didn't your son leave a crack pipe in a rental vehicle in Prescott?
Look, here's the deal. We want to.
Oh, that was in Prescott? No way.
I don't want to do that. I mean, his family, we could talk about all night. His family's already.
My family lost a fortune by coming down and helping us with government.
And that's such a.
They're right here. Mr. President.
Every single one of them lost
this
a fortune.
This is not about my family or his family. It's about your family. The American people.
Don't bring my family into this.
Talk about what you need. You, the American people. It's about you. That's what we're talking about.
All right, that's the end of the segment.
Not my son's hookers.
Didn't take them.
Well, Vice President, no.
Can I be honest? It's a very important question.
Try to be honest.
The answer to the question is no.
Ukraine.
No, sir.
With $1 billion, if you get rid of
that, you know what? You're not true.
You're doing it.
You're going to have
true.
Gentlemen.
The New World Order is going to be very upset at you, Trump. Stop it.
We're going to have to assassinate you right now if you don't shut up.
We have 6 segments. We have ended that segment. We're going to go to the next segment. In that segment, you each are going to have 2 uninterrupted moments. In those 2 interrupted minutes, Mr. President, you can say anything you want. I'm going to ask a question about race, but if you want to answer about something else, go ahead. But we think that the country would be better served if we...
Here comes the Ukraine for the next 2 minutes.
Fewer interruptions. I'm appealing to you, sir, to do that.
Well, and him too.
Well, frankly, you've been doing more interrupting than
that's all right,
has.
But he does plenty.
Well, less than, sir, less
there's
than...
plenty.
No, less than you have. Let's please continue on.
Vice President
Biden, you say that President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville 3 years ago, when he talked about very fine people on both sides, was what directly led you to launch this run for president.
Oh, yeah, sure.
President Trump, you have often said that you believe you have done more for black Americans than any president, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. My question for the two of you is, why should voters trust you rather than your opponent to deal with the race issues facing this country over the next 4 years? Vice President Biden, you go first.
It's about equity and equality. It's about decency. It's about the Constitution. And we have never walked away from trying to require equity for everyone, equality for the whole of America. But we've never accomplished it. But we've never walked away from it like he has done. It is true. The reason I got in the race is when those people, close your eyes, remember what those people looked like coming out of the fields carrying torches.
When Robert Byrd put his hand to me and said,
just spewing anti-Semitic bile and accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan, a young woman got killed.
And they asked the president what he thought. He said there were very fine people on both sides. No president has ever said anything like that.
It is his
now, second,
minutes, sir.
Second point I'd make to you is that when Floyd was killed, when Mr. Floyd was killed, there was a peaceful protest in front of the White House. What did he do? He came out of his bunker, had the military use tear gas on him so he could walk across to a church and hold up a Bible. And then
everybody knows Floyd was a FBI CI, right?
Said that it was a disgrace. The general who was with him said he ever wants to do is divide people, not unite people at all. This is a president who has used everything as a dog whistle to try to generate racist hatred, racist division. This is a man who, in fact, you talk about helping African Americans. One in 1,000 African Americans has been killed because of the coronavirus. And if he doesn't do something quickly, by the end of the year, one in 500 will have been killed. One in 500 African Americans. This man.
Those are rookie numbers. Just ask the Planned Parenthood.
This man cares at all? This man's done virtually nothing. Look, the fact is that you have to look at what he talks about. You have to look at what he did. And what he did has been disastrous for the African American community.
So, President Trump, you have 2 minutes. Why should Americans trust you over your opponent to deal with racism?
He did a crime bill, 1994, where you called them super predators, African Americans, super predators, and they've never forgotten it. They've never forgotten it, Joe.
No, sir, it's his 2 minutes.
So you did that, and they call you a super predator, and I'm letting people out of jail now that you have treated the African American population community, you have treated the black community about as bad as anybody in this country. You did the 1990, and that's why, if you look at the polls, I'm doing better than any Republican has done in a long time, because they saw what you did. You call them super predators, and you've called them worse than that, because you look back at your testimony over the years, you've called them a lot worse than that. As far as the church is concerned, and as far as the generals are concerned, we just got the support of 250 military leaders and generals, total support. Law enforcement, almost every law enforcement group in the United States. I have Florida, I have Texas, I have Ohio, I have Portland. The sheriff just came out today and he said, I support President Trump. I don't think you have any law enforcement. You can't even say the word law enforcement, because if you say those words, you're going to lose all of your radical left supporters. And why aren't you saying those words, Joe? Why don't you say the words law enforcement? Because you know what? If they called us in Portland, we would put out that fire in a half an hour, but they won't do it because they're run by radical left Democrats. If you look at Chicago, if you look at any place you want to look, Seattle, they heard we were coming in the following day and they put up their hands and we got back Seattle. Minneapolis, we got it back, Joe, because we believe in law and order, but you don't. The top 10 cities and just about the top 40 cities are run by Democrats and, in many cases, radical left. And they've got you wrapped around their finger, Joe, to a point where you don't want to say anything about law and order. And I'll tell you what, the people of this country want and demand law and order, and you're afraid to even say it.
All right. I want to return to the question of race. Vice President Biden, after the grand jury in the Breonna Taylor case decided not to charge any of the police with homicide.
Not one word about American cities being burnt down. Not one question from Chris Wallace, as if it didn't happen.
Equal system of justice for blacks in this country?
Yes, there is a systemic injustice in this country, in education, in work, and in law enforcement, and the way in which it's enforced. But look, the vast majority of police officers are good, decent, honorable men and women. They risk their lives every day to take care of us.
Mainly the one that tackled Trump's former campaign manager last night.
They have to be sorted out. They have to be held accountable. They have to be held accountable.
No one's even.
What I'm going to do is overseas. Call together an entire group of people at the White House. Well, everything from the civil rights groups to the police officers, to the police chiefs, and we're going to work this out. We're going to work this out so we change the way in which we have more transparency in when these things happen. These cops aren't happy to see what happened to George Floyd. These cops aren't happy to see what happened to Breonna Taylor. Most don't like it. But we have to have a system where people are held accountable. And by the way, violence in response is never appropriate. Never appropriate. Peaceful protest is.
Violence is never appropriate.
All right,
what is peaceful protest? When they run through the middle of a town and burn down your stores and kill people all over the place,
that is not peaceful protest.
No, it's not, but you say it is.
President Trump, I'd like to continue with the issue of race. I promise we're going to get to the issue of law and order in a moment. This month, your administration directed federal agencies to end racial sensitivity training that addresses white privilege or critical race theory. Why did you decide to do that, to end racial sensitivity training? And do you believe that there is systemic racism in this country, sir?
I ended it because it's racist. I ended it because a lot of people were complaining that they were asked to do things that were absolutely insane, that it was a radical revolution that was taking place in our military, in our schools, all over the place, and you know it, and so does everybody else. And he would know.
What is radical about racial sensitivity training?
If you were a certain person, you had no status in life. It was sort of a reversal. And if you look at the people, we were paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars to teach very bad ideas, and frankly, very sick ideas. And really, they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow that to happen. We have to go back to the core values of this country. They were teaching people that our country is a horrible place, it's a racist place, and they were teaching people to hate our country. And I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Vice President Biden?
Nobody's doing that. He's racist.
You just don't.
Here's the deal. I know a lot more about this.
Let him finish.
The fact is that there is racial insensitivity. People have to be made aware of what other people feel like, what insults them, what is demeaning to them. It's important that people know. They don't want to. Many people don't want to hurt other people's feelings, but it makes a big difference. It makes a gigantic difference in the way a child is able to grow up and have a sense of self-esteem. It's a little bit like how this guy and his friends look down on so many people. They look down their nose on people like Irish Catholics like me who grew up in Scranton. They look down on people who don't have money. They look down on people who are of a different faith. They look down on people who are...
Hey, everybody's got to take a drink. Biden said Scranton.
The only way we're going to bring this country together is bring everybody together. There's nothing we cannot do if we do it together. We can take this on and we can defeat racism
Vice
in America.
President. I mean, President Trump, sir.
During the Obama-Biden administration, there was tremendous division. There was hatred. You look at Ferguson. You look at, you go to very many places. Look at
call it regime.
Look what happened in Oakland. Look what happened in Baltimore. Look what happened on, frankly, it was more violent than what I'm even seeing now.
Oh, my
but
Lord.
The reason is that
ridiculous.
The Democrats
absolutely
that run these cities
ridiculous.
Don't want to talk like you about law and order.
Violent
and you
crime.
You still haven't mentioned.
Violent
are
crime.
You in favor of law and order?
I'm in favor of law. You follow
are you in
it,
favor
a little
of
bit
law
of order.
And order? Go
yes,
ahead,
I'm in favor.
You asked a question. Let him finish.
Law and order.
Let him.
Law and order with justice, where people get treated fairly. Okay. And the fact of the matter is violent crime went down 17%, 15% in our administration.
All right.
It's gone up on his watch.
Went down much more
he
than
had,
ours.
All right. We're down. You're, Mr. President, you're going to Mr. President, Mr. President, you're going to be very happy because we're now going to talk about law and order.
Because we had trouble with Democratic-run cities.
That's exactly my question. There has been a dramatic increase in homicides in America this summer particularly, and you often blame that on Democratic mayors and Democratic governors, but in fact there have been equivalent spikes in Republican-led cities like Tulsa and Fort Worth. So the question is this really a party issue?
I think it's a party issue. You can bring in a couple of examples, but if you look at Chicago, what's going on in Chicago, where 53 people were shot and 8 died, shot. If you look at New York, where it's going up like nobody's ever seen anything, the numbers are going up 100, 150, 200% crime. It is
cities.
Crazy what's going on. And he doesn't want to say law and order because he can't, because he'll lose his radical left supporters. And once he does that, it's over with. But if he ever got to run this country and they ran it the way he would want to run it, we would have our suburbs would be gone. By the way, our suburbs would be gone. And you would see problems like you've
he
never
would
seen.
He would know right. A suburb unless he took a wrong turn.
Oh, I know suburbs.
He would not.
So much
I was raised in the suburbs. This is not 1950. All these dog whistles on racism don't work anymore. Suburbs are by and large integrated. There's many people today driving their kids to soccer practice and/or to
black and white and Hispanic in the same car as there have been any time in the past. What really is the threat in the suburbs and their safety is his failure to deal with COVID. They're dying in the suburbs. His failure to deal with the environment. They're being flooded. They're being burned out because of his refusal to do anything. That's why the suburbs are in trouble.
I do want to talk about this issue of law and order, though. And in the joint recommendation that came from the Biden-Bernie Sanders task force, you talked about, quote, reimagining policing. Yeah. First of all, what does reimagining policing mean? And do you support...
It means...
If I might finish the question. What does reimagining policing mean? And do you support the Black Lives Matter call for community control of policing?
Look, what I support is the police having the opportunity to deal with the problems they face. And I'm totally opposed to defunding the police officers. As a matter of fact, police, local police, the only one defunding in his budget calls for a $400 million cut in local law enforcement assistance. They need more assistance. They need, when they show up for a 9/11 call, to have someone with them as a psychologist or psychiatrist to keep them from having to use force and be able to talk people down. We have to have community policing like we had before, where the officers get to know the people in the communities. That's when crime went down. It didn't go up. It went down. And so we
a new corn pop.
That's not what they're talking about, that, Chris. That's well, not what that, they're he's talking exactly, about defunding the
that,
police.
That is not true.
He doesn't have any well, law
well, you, support. Look,
he has no law enforcement
that's
support.
That's not true.
Almost
that's
nothing.
Not, that, look.
Oh, really? Who do you have? Name one group that supports you. Name one group that came out and supported you. Go
look,
ahead.
Look,
think. We have time.
We don't have time to do anything.
No,
all right.
Name folks, one law enforcement folks. Group. That came
I think,
out and
I think gentlemen,
you.
I think I'm going to take back the moderator's role, and I want to get to another subject, which is the issue of protests in many cities that have turned violent. In Portland, Oregon, especially, we had more than 100 straight days of protests, which I think you would agree. You talk about peaceful protests; many of those turned into riots. Mr. Vice President, you say that people who commit crimes should be held accountable. The question I have, though, is as the Democratic nominee, and earlier tonight you said that you are the Democratic Party right now, have you ever called the Democratic mayor of Portland or the Democratic governor of Oregon and said, hey, you got to stop this, bring in the National Guard, do whatever it takes, but you stop the days and months of violence in Portland?
I don't hold public office now. I am a former vice president. I've made it clear in my public statements that the violence should be prosecuted. It should be prosecuted. And anyone who commits it should be
prosecuted. But you've never called for the people, the leader, excuse me, sir. You have never called for the leaders in Portland and in Oregon to call and bring in the National Guard and knock off 100 days of riots.
They can, in fact, take care of it if he just stay out of the way. Look, here.
Oh, really?
Here. Here's the thing.
I sent in the U.S. Marshal to get the killer of the young man in the middle of the street, and they shot him. And for 3 days,
President Trump,
Portland wouldn't do anything. I had sent in the U.S. Marshal. They took care of business.
Go ahead, sir.
And by the way, you know, his own former spokesperson said, you know, riots and chaos and violence help his cause. That's what this is all about.
I don't know who said that.
I do.
Who?
I think Kellyanne Conway.
I don't think she said that.
She said that. And so here's the,
all right.
Here's the point. The point is that's what he is keeps trying to rile everything up. He doesn't want to calm things down. Instead of going in and talking to people and saying, let's get everybody together, figure out how to deal with
it. Come on, man.
What's he do? He just pours gasoline in the fire constantly, and every single solitary
okay,
time.
And to end this button up.
Contributing to CO2.
Answer, sir. You have repeatedly criticized.
Wait, I have to answer his statement.
You've been talking
you
back and forth.
You made a statement.
I'm asking you.
I would love to end it.
Sir,
I would love to end it.
You know, if you want to switch seats.
We
can do that, but
I'd send in the National Guard, it would be over.
Take that offer.
Okay.
But they don't want to accept the National Guard.
You have repeatedly criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these
militia
cities
groups and white supremacists are the same thing
as we've seen in Portland.
Yeah.
Are
you prepared to technically
do it?
Of course,
there.
Everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
white
right
like wing.
White supremacists and right wing militia.
Stand back and stand by, but I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a
FBI director.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not militia. That's what his FBI director
gentlemen,
said.
Well, then you know what?
We're done, sir. We're moving on to the next.
Bad is your administration. That's not an idea.
Everybody
Antifa
in your administration tells you the truth has a bad idea.
Can I tell you what?
You have no ideas.
Antifa is a dangerous radical group.
All right, gentlemen,
group.
We're now moving on to the Trump and Biden records.
They'll overthrow you.
When a president, I'm going to ask a question. When the president seeks a second term, it is generally a referendum on his record. But Vice President Biden, you like to quote one of your dad's sayings, which is, don't compare me to the Almighty, compare me to the alternative. And in this case, sir, you are the alternative. Looking at both of your records, I'm going to ask each of you, why should voters elect you president over your opponent? In this segment, President Trump, you go first, 2 minutes.
Because there has never been an administration or president who has done more than I've done in a period of 3.5 years. And that's despite the impeachment hoax. And you saw what happened today with Hillary Clinton, where it was a whole big con job. But despite going through all of these things, where I had to fight both flanks and behind me and above, there has never been an administration that's done what I've done. The greatest, before COVID came in, the greatest economy in history, lowest unemployment numbers. Everything was good. Everything was going. And by the way, there was unity going to happen. People were calling me for the first time in years. They were calling and they were saying, it's time maybe. And then what happened? We got hit, but now we're building it back up again. A rebuilding of the military, including Space Force and all of the other things. A fixing of the VA, which was a mess under him. 308,000 people died because they didn't have proper health care. It was a mess. And we now got a 91% approval rating at the VA, our vets. We take care of our vets. But we've rebuilt our military. The job that we've done, and I'll tell you some people say maybe the most important. By the end of the first term, I'll have approximately 300 federal judges and Court of Appeals judges, 300, and hopefully 3 great Supreme Court judges, justices. That is a record, the likes of which very few people, and you know one of the reasons I'll have so many judges? Because President Obama and him left me 128 judges to fill. When you leave office, you don't leave any judges. That's like, you just don't do that. They left 128 openings, and if I were a member of his party, because they have a little different philosophy, I'd say if you left us 128 openings, you can't be a good president, you can't be a good vice president, but I want to thank you because it gives us almost, it'll probably be above that number by the end of this term, 300 judges. It's a record.
Looking at both your records, why should voters elect you president as opposed to President Trump? You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Under this president, we become weaker, sicker, poorer, more divided, and more violent. When I was vice president,
we inherited
a recession. I was asked to fix it. I did. We left him a booming economy, and he caused the recession.
We printed a whole bunch of money to cover the depression.
The fact is that I've gone head to head with Putin and made it clear to him.
I made sure we stole 100% of Ukrainian foreign aid and channel it back to our friends.
Bounty on the heads of American soldiers.
Your son got $3 million.
And by the way,
Mr. President, your campaign agreed to both sides would get 2 minute answers uninterrupted. Well, your side agreed to it, and why don't you observe what your campaign agreed to as a ground rule, okay, sir?
He never keeps his word.
Can you no, I'm not asking. That was a rhetorical question.
Can you
go
add
ahead,
back
sir.
30 seconds?
Yeah, yes, okay. You may have.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, thirdly, we're poor. The billionaires have gotten much more wealthy by a tune of over $300 to $400 billion more
just since COVID. You in the home, you got less. You're in more trouble than you were before. In terms of being more violent, when we were in office, there were 15% less violence in America than there is today. He's president of the United States. It's on his watch. And with regard to more divided,
we can get it right. On Epstein's plane, speaking of my son, I really deserved it. My boss got to go, and his spouse, Michael LeVar Robinson, but I didn't.
And just being suckers. My son was in Iraq.
This is my chance.
Here, there, he got the Bronze Star. He got the Conspicuous Service Medal. He was not a loser. He was a patriot. And the people left behind there were heroes.
Really?
And I resent.
Are you talking
Mike
about Hunter?
Hill.
Are you talking about
I'm
Hunter?
Talking about my son, Bo Biden. You're talking
about.
I don't know Bo.
I know Hunter. Yeah, Hunter got Bo. Thrown. Hunter got thrown out of the military. He was thrown out, dishonorably discharged.
That's not true.
For
it wasn't dishonorably.
Cocaine use, and he didn't have a job until you became vice president. And once you
None
became
of that
vice
is
president,
true.
He made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow,
that is simply
and various
not
other places.
True.
He made
my
a
son,
fortune,
gentlemen, my son,
and he didn't have a job.
My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it. He's worked on it, and I'm proud of him.
But why
I'm
was
proud
he given
of my
tens
son.
Of millions?
All right,
of dollars.
But he wasn't given right. tens of millions.
Of
that is totally,
discredited.
We've already discredited.
We've already been through this. I think the American people would rather hear about more substantial subjects. Well, you know, as the moderator, sir, I'm going to make a judgment call here.
$3.5 million
okay,
dollars
right.
from the
let's
mayor
talk about,
of Moscow.
Let's talk
that
about
is not
it.
True.
Gentlemen,
that report is totally
why
discredited.
Did he get it?
I
Mitt
think,
Romney on that committee said it wasn't worth taxpayers' money, that report. It was written for political reasons.
You know, I'd like to talk about climate change.
So would I.
Okay. The forest fires in the West are raging now. They have burned millions of acres. They have displaced hundreds of thousands of people. When state officials there blame the fires on climate change, Mr. President, you said, I don't think the science knows. Over your 4 years, you have pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. You have rolled back a number of Obama environmental records. What do you believe about the science of climate change? And what will you do in the next 4 years to confront it?
I want crystal clean water and air. I want beautiful, clean air. We have now the lowest carbon. If you look at our numbers right now, we are doing phenomenally. But I haven't destroyed our businesses. Our businesses are...
The economy is shut down.
Mission. If you look at the Paris Accord, it was a disaster from our standpoint. And people are actually very happy about what's going on because our businesses are doing well. As far as the fires are concerned, you need forest management in addition to everything else. The forest floors are loaded up with trees, dead trees that are years old and they're like tinder and leaves and everything else. You drop a cigarette in there, the whole forest burns down. You've got to have forest management.
What do you
You've
believe,
got to have cuts.
What do you believe about the science of climate change, sir?
I believe that we have to do everything we can to have immaculate air, immaculate water, and do whatever else we can that's good. You know, we're planting a billion trees, the Billion Tree Project, and it's very exciting.
Do you believe
for a lot of people.
That human pollution, gas, greenhouse gas emissions contributes to the global warming of this planet?
I think
planet?
A lot of things do, but I think to an extent, yes. I think to an extent, yes. But I also think we have to do better management of our forests. Every year, I get the call. California's burning. California's burning. If that was cleaned, if you had forest management, good forest management, you wouldn't be getting those calls. You know, in Europe, they live, they have forest cities. They're called forest cities. They maintain their forests. They manage their forests. I was with the head of a major country. It's a forest city. He said, sir, we have trees that are far more, they ignite much easier than California. There shouldn't be that problem. I spoke with the governor about it. I'm getting along very well with the governor. But I said, you know, at some point, you can't every year have hundreds of thousands of acres of land just burned to the ground.
But, sir,
that's burning down because of a lack of
but
management.
But, sir, if you believe in the science of climate change, why have you rolled back the Obama Clean Power Plan, which limited carbon emissions in power plants? Why have you relaxed?
Because it was driving energy prices through the sky.
Why have you relaxed fuel economy standards that are going to create more pollution from cars.
Well, not really, because what's happening is the car is much less expensive and it's a much safer car, and you're talking about a tiny difference. And then what would happen, because of the cost of the car, you would have at least double and triple the number of cars purchased. We have the old slugs out there that are 10, 12 years old. If you did that, the car would be safer. It would be much cheaper by $3,500.
In the case of California, they simply ignore
your roadmap. No, but you would take a lot of cars off the market because people would be able to afford a car. Now, so, and by the way, we're going to see how that turns out. But a lot of people agree with me, many people. The car has gotten so expensive because they have computers all over the place for an extra little bit of gasoline. And, and I'm okay with electric cars, too. I think I'm all for electric cars. I've given big incentives for electric cars. But what they've done in California is just crazy.
Vice President Biden, I'd like you to respond to the president's climate change record. But I also want to ask you about a concern. You proposed $2 trillion in green jobs. You talk about new limits, not abolishing, but new limits on fracking, ending the use of fossil fuels to generate electricity by 2035, and zero net emission of greenhouse gases by 2050. The president says a lot of these things would tank the economy and cost millions of jobs.
He's absolutely wrong, number one. Number two, if in fact, during our administration, the Recovery Act, I was in charge, able to bring down the cost of renewable energy to cheaper than or as cheap as coal and gas and oil. Nobody's going to build another coal-fired plant in America. No one's going to build another oil-fired plant in America. They're going to move to renewable energy, number one. Number two, we're going to make sure that we are able to take the federal fleet and turn it into a fleet that's run on their electric vehicles. Making sure that we can do that, we're going to put 500,000 charging stations and all of the highways that we're going to be building in the future.
And what generates the electricity?
Economy that, in fact, is going to provide for the ability of us to take 4 million buildings.
Socialism.
They, in fact, are weatherized in a way that, in fact, they'll emit significantly less gas and oil because the heat will not be going out. There's so many things that we can
do. Everybody hear what I'm hearing, which is buy some gold more now.
Production by 2035. Not only not ten more people jobs, create
10 more
jobs,
minutes and we get to talk about
good paying jobs, not $15 an
I'm
hour.
I'm getting dumber
but
fast, man.
Prevailing way by having a new infrastructure that in fact is green. And the first thing I will do, I will rejoin the Paris Accord. I will join the Paris Accord because with us out of it, look what's happening. It's all falling apart.
We need to
talk about someone who has no
we need to stop the recording
foreign policy
and then start it again for a conversation.
Brazil
this
are being
is all
torn down, are being ripped down. More carbon is absorbed in that rainforest than every bit of carbon that's emitted in the United States. Instead of doing something about that, I would be gathering up and making sure we had the countries of the world coming up with $20 billion and say, here's $20 billion. Stop tearing down the forest. And if you don't, then you're going to have significant economic consequences.
What about the argument that President Trump basically says that you have to balance environmental interests and economic interests, and he's drawn his line?
Well, he hadn't drawn a line. He still, for example, makes sure that he wants to make sure that methane's not a problem. You can now emit more methane without it being a problem. Methane. This is a guy who says that you don't have to have mileage standards for automobiles that exist now. This is a guy who says that, it's all true. And here's
the deal.
He's
talking about the Green New Deal, and it's not $2 billion or $20 billion, as you said. It's $100 trillion.
I'm talking about
where they want to rip down buildings
and
rebuild the building.
No,
it's the dumbest, most ridiculous,
not
where airplanes are out of business, where two-car systems are out, where
not
they want
true.
To take out the cows too,
not
you know that's
true.
Not true either, right?
Not
this
true.
This is a 100
simply,
trillion.
Look,
that's more money than our country could make in 100 years if we're
not
going
by the case.
All right, let me destroy because I actually wait a minute, sir. I actually have studied your plan, and it includes upgrading 4 million buildings, weatherizing 2 million homes over 4 years, building 1.5 million energy efficient homes. So the question becomes, the president is saying, I think some people who support the president would say that sounds like it's going to cost a lot of money and hurt the economy.
What it's going to do is going to create thousands and millions of jobs, good paying jobs.
Well, let him finish, sir.
He doesn't know how to do that.
$100 billion.
The fact is, it's going to create millions of good paying jobs, and these tax incentives to people for people to weatherize, which he wants to get rid of. It's going to make the economy.
Trump, where's your sardonic New York street sense?
By the way, he has an answer for hurricanes. He said maybe we should drop a nuclear weapon on them. They may.
I never said that.
That's
at all.
What he did say.
You made it up.
And here's the deal.
You make up.
We are going to be in a position where we can create hard, good jobs by making sure the environment is clean and we all are in better shape. We spend billions of dollars now, billions of dollars on floods, hurricanes, rising seas. We're in real trouble. Look what's happened just in the Midwest with these storms that come through and wipe out entire sections and counties in Iowa. They didn't happen before. They're because of global warming. We make up 15% of the world's problem. The rest of the world, we've got to get them to come along. That's why we have to get back into the Paris Accord.
All right, gentlemen.
Wait a minute, Chris. So why didn't he do it for 47 years? You were vice president. Why didn't you get the world? China sends up real dirt into the air. Russia does. India does. They all do. We're supposed to be good. And by the way, he made a couple of statements. The Green New Deal is $100 trillion.
That is
not
my plan.
That's
Green New Deal.
Well, you want to rebuild every building.
Not my plan.
I want to rebuild
every
building.
If you knew anything about, if
you knew
anything, he made a statement about the military. He said, "I said something about the military." He and his friends made it up, and then they went with it. I never said it.
Okay,
that is
what he did.
You're done in this segment.
He called the military stupid bastards.
I did not.
He said it on tape. He said stupid bastards. He said it.
Stop.
I would never say that.
Stop. Play it.
Go ahead. Mr. Vice President answered his final question.
The final question is, I can't remember which of all his rantings.
I'm having a little trouble myself. But and about the economy and about this question of what it's going to cost.
The economy.
I mean, the Green New Deal and the idea of what your environmental changes will do.
The Green New Deal.
I mean, racism.
For itself as we move forward. We're not going to build plants that, in fact, are great polluting plants.
But do you support the Green New Deal?
Pardon me?
Do you support
No, I don't support the Green New Deal.
Oh, you don't? Oh, well, that's a big statement.
I support the Biden.
That means you just lost the radical left.
I support the Biden plan that I put forward.
Okay.
The Biden plan, which is different than what he calls the radical Green New Deal.
All right, gentlemen, final segment, election integrity. As we meet tonight, millions of Americans are receiving mail-in ballots or going to vote early. How confident should we be that this will be a fair election? And what are you prepared to do over the next 5+ weeks? Because it'll not only be to Election Day, but also counting some ballots, mail-in ballots after Election Day. What are you prepared to do to reassure the American people that the next president will be the legitimate winner of this election? In this final segment, Mr. Vice President, you go first.
Prepare to let people vote. They should go to iwillvote.com. Decide how they're going to vote, when they're going to vote, and what means by which they're going to vote. His own Homeland Security Director, and as well as the FBI Director, says there is no evidence at all that mail-in ballots are a source of being manipulated and cheating. They said that. The fact is that there are going to be millions of people because of COVID that are going to be voting by mail-in ballots, like he does, by the way. He sits behind the Resolute desk and sends his ballot to Florida, number one. Number two, we're going to make sure that those people who want to vote in person are able to vote because enough poll watchers are there to make sure they can socially distance, the polls are open on time, and the polls stay open until the votes are counted. And this is all about trying to dissuade people from voting because he's trying to scare people into thinking that it's not going to be legitimate. Show up and vote. You will determine the outcome of this election. Vote, vote, vote. If you're able to vote early in your state, vote early. If you're able to vote in person, vote in person. Vote whatever way is the
vote
best.
Vote early and vote often.
Because you will. He cannot stop you from being able to determine the outcome of this election. And in terms of whether or not when the votes are counted and they're all counted, that will be accepted. If I win, that will be accepted. If I lose, that will be accepted. But by the way, if in fact he says he's not sure what he's going to accept, well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. Because if we get the votes, It's going to be all over. He's going to go. He can't stay in power. It won't happen. It won't happen. So vote. Just make sure you understand you have it in your control to determine what this country is going to look like the next 4 years. Is it going to change or you get 4 more years of these lies?
Mr. President, 2 minutes.
So when I listened to Joe talking about a transition, there's been no transition from when I won. I won that election. And if you look at crooked Hillary Clinton, if you look at all of the different people, there was no transition because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our First Lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it too. So don't tell me about a free transition. As far as the ballots are concerned, it's a disaster. A solicited ballot, okay, solicited is okay. You're soliciting, you're asking, they send it back, you send it back. I did that. If you have an unsolicited, they're sending millions of ballots all over the country. There's fraud. They found them in creeks. They found some with the name Trump, just happened to have the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket. They're being sent all over the place. They sent 2 in a Democrat area. They sent out 1,000 ballots. Everybody got 2 ballots. This is going to be a fraud like you've never seen. The other thing, it's nice on November 3rd, you're watching and you see who won the election. And I think we're going to do well because people are really happy with the job we've done. But you know what? We won't know. We might not know for months because these ballots are going to be all over. Take a look at what happened in Manhattan. Take a look at what happened in New Jersey. Take a look at what happened in Virginia and other places. They're not losing 2%, 1%, which, by the way, is too much. An election could be won or lost with that. They're losing 30 and 40%. It's a fraud, and it's a shame. And can you imagine where they say you have to have your ballot in by November 10th? November 10th. That means that's 7 days after the election, in theory, should have been announced.
Okay.
We have major states with that.
Sir,
all run by Democrats.
2 minutes is 2 minutes.
All run by Democrats. It's
President Trump,
it's a rigged election.
You're going to be able to continue. You have been charging for months that mail-in balloting is going to be a disaster. You say it's rigged, that it's going to lead to fraud. But in 2018, in the last midterm election, 31 million people voted mail-in.
Sorry, I got to ask a serious question.
A quarter, more than
are his glasses prescription or non-prescription?
Now that millions of mail-in ballots have gone out, what are you going to do about it? And are you counting on the Supreme Court, including a Justice Barrett, to settle any dispute?
Yeah, I think I'm counting on them to look at the ballots, definitely. I don't think, well, I hope we don't need them in terms of the election itself. But for the ballots, I think so. Because what's happening is incredible. I just heard, I read today, where at least 1% of the ballots for 2016 were invalidated. They take them. We don't like them. We don't like them.
But
they throw them out left and right.
There are millions of ballots going out.
What you do is you go and vote. You do a solicited ballot.
No, no,
and that's okay. Or you go and vote.
I'm asking you about the fact that millions of people.
You go and vote. You go and vote. Like they used to in
the old. Millions of people.
You either do, Chris, a solicited ballot where you're sending it in, they're sending it back, and you're sending. They have mailmen with lots of it. Did you see what's going on? Take a look at West Virginia. Mailmen selling the ballots. They're being sold. They're being dumped in rivers. This is a horrible thing for our country.
There is no,
this is not.
There is no.
This is not going to end well.
There is okay. No
this is not
that.
Going
Vice
to
President
end
Biden.
Well.
Five states
fact,
have had mail-in ballots for the last decade or more. Five, including 2 Republican states, and you don't have to solicit the ballot. It's sent to you. It's sent to your home. What we're saying is, they're saying is that it has to be a postmark by the time by election day. If it doesn't get in till the 7th, 8th, 9th, it still should be counted. He's just afraid of counting the votes. Because
you're wrong.
The
you're wrong.
No, I want to continue with you on this,
I love
Vice President Biden.
Because he's so wrong when he makes a statement
no,
like that.
No, excuse me. Vice President Biden, the biggest problem, in fact, over the years with mail-in voting has not been fraud historically. It has been that sizable numbers, sometimes hundreds of thousands of ballots are thrown out because they have not been properly filled out or there is some other irregularity or
that
they missed the deadline. So the question I have is, are you concerned that the Supreme Court, with a Justice Barrett, will settle any dispute?
I'm concerned that any court would settle this, because here's the deal. When you get a ballot and you fill it out, you're supposed to have an affidavit. If you didn't know, you have someone say that this is me. You should be able to, if in fact you can verify that's you before the ballot is thrown out, that's sufficient to be able to count the ballot because someone made a mistake and not dotting the correct I. Who they voted for, testify, say who they voted for, say it's you, that is totally legitimate.
All right.
Excuse me, when you have 80 million ballots,
I have a final question.
Senate is swamping the system.
You
know it can't be done. You know it can't. And already
all right.
Been
so now,
mail service delivers 185 million
ballots. Wait a minute, gentlemen, in the final question, in eight states, we can keep talking. In eight states, election workers are prohibited, currently by law, eight states, from even beginning to process ballots, even take them out of the envelopes and flatten them. Until election day. That means that it's likely, because there's going to be a huge increase in mail-in balloting, that we are not going to know on election night who the winner is, that it could be days, it could be weeks,
could be months,
until we find out who the new president is. So I, first for you, sir, finally for the vice president,
finally.
I hope neither of you will interrupt the other. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm during this extended period, not to engage in any civil unrest, and will you pledge tonight that you will not declare victory until the election has been independently certified? President Trump, you go first.
I'm urging my supporters to go into the polls and watch very carefully, because that's what has to happen. I am urging them to do it. As you know, today there was a big problem. In Philadelphia, they went in to watch. They were called poll watchers, a very safe, very nice thing. They were thrown out. They weren't allowed to watch. You know why? Because bad things happen in Philadelphia, bad things. And I am urging my people. I hope it's going to be a fair election. If it's a fair election, I am 100% on board. But if I see tens of thousands of ballots being manipulated, I can't go along with that. And I'll tell you what, from a common sense,
does that mean you're going to tell your people to take to the
It means you have a fraudulent election. You're sending out 80 million ballots. They're not equipped to... These people aren't equipped to handle it, number one. Number two, they cheat. They cheat. Hey, they found ballots in a waste paper basket three days ago, and they all had the name military ballots. They were military. They all had the name Trump on them.
Vice President
you think
Biden,
that's good?
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes, and here's the deal. They count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until election day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it. And by the way, our military, they've been voting by ballots since the end of the Civil War, in effect. And that's what's going to happen. Why is it for them somehow not fraudulent? It's the same process. It's honest. It's
fucking
no
nonsense.
One has established at all that there is fraud related to mail-in ballots, that somehow it's a fraudulent process.
It's already been established. Take a look at Carolyn Maloney's race.
You had an opportunity
look
to
at
respond.
Carolyn Maloney.
Go ahead.
They have no idea what
Vice
happened.
Vice President Biden, go ahead.
He has no idea what he's talking about. Here's the deal. The fact is, I will accept it, and he will too. You know why? Because once the winner is declared after all the ballots are counted, all the votes are counted, that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it. And if it's me, in fact, fine. If it's not me, I'll support the outcome. And I'll be a president not just for the Democrats. I'll be a president for Democrats and Republicans. And this guy,
I want to
see fact,
an honest ballot count.
Gentlemen, you say that's the end of it? This is the
I
end of this debate?
Honest ballot count.
We're going to leave
he
it
does
there.
Too.
To be continued as in more debates as we go on. President Trump, Vice President Biden, it's been an interesting hour and a half. I want to thank you both for participating in the first of three debates that you have agreed to engage in. We want to thank Case Western Reserve University.
What are you doing?
Hi.
Okay,
wait.
It was pretty anticlimactic.
We want to restart the recording, right?
What?
You want to restart the recording, yeah. Right?
Good night, good night, good night, good night, good night. Oh, God. All right. This is Ernie. We just started, we just ended the debate between Biden and Trump. And Dr. Frank, we got you there. Can we go back to the Zoom? Did we got you there, Dr. Frank? Unmute your thing.
Matt, there.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still finishing up.
Okay. Oh, how much delayed is it? Where are you at? I guess he's delayed on a little bit. We'll wait for Dr. Frank because I know I know that he knows what I'm going to say.
He's always late. Even when we're all watching the same freaking stream, he's still late.
I'm sure he paused about 400 times.
I heard that one, Tim.
Okay. Everybody know, I started the recording again. I just want to ask Dr. Frank one question.
Erection.
What am I going to say right now?
Besides, it just doesn't matter, I'm sure. Which is
you're still voting after watching this. I was like, I feel like I want my brain cells back. This is why I don't read the traditional newspapers. This is why when we had debate parties, what we did is we were able to throw popcorn at the at the screen and just go and eat Donna Philly cheesesteaks and have a good time and talk about it and hang. This is probably the least informative, the worst debate. None of the in-depth questions about anything that was important ever got asked or brought up. I feel stupider for having watched it. Okay, now you guys go.
It was nonsense. I second that. It was just a whole lot of ouch credit. I mean, I don't think it would have swayed anybody. Like the camps that people are already in are going to be there, and they already know the information that was put out by each guy, and they're fighting over that couple of percent in the middle, and I don't see it changing too many people's minds.
I would love to see who that couple of percent is. Like who honestly is going into this saying, everything is hinging on who, what is said over right now. I mean, I think all those people, hopefully they take the vaccine and aren't with us anymore, but I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, Derek's here also. John, you're from Canada and you watch this. Is this how they are in Canada? Is this something different that you thought? What would you think of this?
Well, it was even worse than in Canada, but unfortunately here in Canada, we have a Green New Deal already. So that just got voted through our parliament. And probably looking at like another $500 billion. It doesn't sound much for you Americans, but that's basically over 50% of the current debt that we have. So yeah, we're pretty screwed up here. And of course we had Prime Minister Trudeau come out on, it was the same day as the throne speech. If anybody of you had the chance to see that occult craziness that is, he came out and said that there will be no Thanksgiving for you peasants. And that's, yeah.
You know, so explain that throne speech thing. I saw somebody literally sitting on a throne and reading some, who was that?
It's the lieutenant governor. And literally what she is when you, I've read enough about it now. I've been in Canada for a little long enough to understand. She's actually the minion of the queen that goes and reports to the queen, tells, how the peasants
queen of England
are, behaving over here. Yeah, exactly.
I read a story today that said there's something to the effect of that the queen, that their real estate holdings, that the income they get from there can never go down. If they do dip down, then the public treasurer, the UK government, then basically makes the queen whole. So then that way she gets paid the same amount as like some.
In Norway, we pay our king and queen.
Because they can.
That's right.
Yeah.
They set it up, man. That's how it works.
Yeah.
All right, John Q. Public, whatever. Give us your spiel on this whole thing. You're interjecting the whole time. Give us what's your input, man.
I got to ask John Sneezing, do I need to sell my loonies? And then The other thing I got to ask is, you know, the funniest show on Netflix, it's called In the Service of France, where some Quebecois go over to talk to the guys in France, and the French guys are saying, they can understand us, but I have no idea what they're saying. Sounds like French, but I have no idea what they're saying. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. But, yeah, tell me if I need to sell my loonies. No, I agree with you, Ernie. I'm dumber for having watched that. But I love the, you know me, right? I love the partisan part. I love the party politics part. I love to stick it to liberals just for fun. And so, God, there's no better guy to do that than Trump. So that's why he's got my support.
You know, one thing I have seen over the last month or so, I'm glad to finally see. My thing has been election fraud. Because I've worked for Secretary of State twice, County Recorder, Congress, U.S. Senate, rep, blah, 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 blah. And that's what got me involved in my activism in the late 80s, early 90s was election fraud. And I could see the mail-in was where it was done. And now it doesn't even go, I was complaining that it went to the post office as opposed to the post office under, you know, a felony threat of violating the law, that they deliver it to be counted. Well, what happens, they don't deliver it. Some guy in a van goes down and picks it up. And I'm like, why? We don't talk about that. Now they don't even go pick it up. It's done by a private company that processes everything. Because we did Freedom of Information requests, and like Trump was saying, you're not going to be counting 80 million. They're right, especially when it's, you got to verify signatures and stuff. So we did a timestamp. I wanted to know time cards of people actually doing it, because it was 10 seconds each one. I wanted to know how long did it take them, 10 seconds times how many. Now, I know you need this many people to do it. Where are they? They aren't there. You're not verifying them. You're just taking the card from here and putting it over here. And I'm going, this is insane that they're doing this systematically. And I know that it is fraudulent. Dr. Frank Tamburi and I had, I've had Roger Stone on a few times. And he came on the Trump Report, and we made it very clear that if you guys aren't dealing with this election fraud, you're already lost. You're done. You know, you guys better deal with it. All of a sudden now they want to deal with it, you know? So I'm glad to see that that's come up, and it may be too little too late. But Dr. Frank, all right, man. Give us the sugar, Cody, man. Do it.
Hello. So, well, first off, yeah, I wasn't able to comment during this. For some reason, I was watching Fox, and it was at least 30 seconds to 40 seconds or almost a minute or so behind. So it was a strange delay, which is why you guys were doing your own thing, which I understood. I feel the same thing. I mean, it was pretty, I would say, uneventful, except for the fact that it was the waste of time. I think there's a lot of reasons. I personally don't think Trump did well with it at all. But it, there's a, you know, I was going through it trying to figure out why is it looking this way. I think it was a number of reasons. I mean, first off, we're just living in different. What's so funny?
No, John Sneezen's got a.
Keep on going. They're laughing. I'm like, what am I doing? Oh, that's a nice one. I like that. Well, that's pretty cool.
Trigger warning.
So, yeah. So anyway, no, I mean, there's a number of things. First off, I mean, one bottom line is Trump does not do well on the defensive. In this entire debate, he was on the defensive. He does best on the offense, and it does well with, you know, him being with getting these short questions for pithy answers, you know, when the type of formats from before. This one in general would be very good. You're able to get more discussion back and forth typically, but Trump does not do that in that way. So anyway, so the thing is, it's like, it doesn't play to his strengths. So the problem is, you know, the media has been so focused in their two little bubbles between the liberal and the conservative, whatever you want to call it, that we've been cooped up for months and months and months on top of 4 or 5 years of the way that the media just plays their own story, right? And so it's almost like you're trying to unravel so much. Normally when we're on the same page watching the same news, it makes more sense. You know, it makes more sense when we're on the same page. you don't have to explain as much about what the other side or what your point of view is. But when you're in two different realities, it's like the questions are being thrown, since Trump's the president, how come X, Y, Z? So it's like, how come you're hitting your wife because CNN said that? And you have to spend time trying to defend. I mean, I know it's standard to defend, but there's so many layers and levels of defense because these stories have not been vetted back and forth like it used to, like on the old McLaughlin report, you know, when you had the both sides there to unravel these stories. Every single story and every single thing you could say are talking points, but they're layers and layers of whether you call it lies on lies on both sides. So it's just so much to unpack with that. And I don't think, you know, having the 2-minute format definitely does not play to Trump's strength. He does not, he cannot, extrapolate or discuss something in detail.
You know, that's, let me ask problem. You this, Frank. You know, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? You know, because Biden, you know, didn't come off as bat crap crazy. You know, he was, you know, he didn't mumble. He had the right drugs or whatever, you know.
Right.
He, you know, didn't fall all over himself. He didn't babble. He didn't, I mean, it was all his to lose, and he didn't go batshit crazy. So, I mean, you know, of course, the policies and everything and what we,
right.
You and I and a lot of us know. But, yeah, Trump was on the defensive. You know, I've never seen him this defensive in any of his debates. I mean, all he had to do is call somebody, you know, with small hands or something, and he wins, you know. But this is, well, and they put the narrative.
Wait. Did it on purpose. Chris Wallace did a good job of playing to Trump's weaknesses. He got Trump all twisted up on details that don't matter, right? Don't you think that was purposeful? I mean, it seemed very targeted and designed to do exactly that.
You know, my whole impression of this whole, having, you know, known the actual actions of everyone, doing the Trump report every week for, God, 5 years, Frank and I have been doing it. And covering the news, and I see the headlines every day and so on. But Freedom's Phoenix is much more left and right, and everybody gets to have a say, and you get kind of a balanced thing. And what, and you find out that it's all exaggeration, it's crap. It's, you know, it's, I'm like, you're still voting. I don't see this this process as conducive, you know, to free individuals. What was interesting to me is behind Biden, it had, you know, the right of the people to alter or abolish. You know, that's my favorite part, you know? So what does he see it as? Alter and abolish with a riot? I mean, you know, so it's...
Try to get a skill of that and make a poster out of it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, one of the other problems is that, like the media on the left, I'm not trying to make this all a bash in CNN, I mean, that's a full-time job. But they get away with so many things. Like, I just watched him just the other day after the appointment of Judge Barrett. And I caught them straight up with lies. Just a simple thing, Donald Trump was on his way. I'm not trying to make this about this, but he was on his way to the Pennsylvania rally after he just did the nomination ceremony. And on the way to the helicopter, they asked him about mail-in ballot problems and such. And he said, yeah, well, that's a concern. He said, look what just happened in Iowa, just with the Iowa mail-in ballots. And he said that. Well, then when CNN broke in, they went flipping out. This one commentator said, why do we even cover this? The amount of lies this man says, he just lied. And he goes, do you know why we know he's lying to this level? He talked about the Iowa caucus. There's no mail-in ballots at the Iowa caucus. It's a straw poll. And I'm sitting back going, when did he say caucus? And I actually Googled Iowa, and it turned out right now there's a whole mail-in scandal with the Iowa votes just recently. So they say these things over and over, and no matter what Trump does in some kind of defense, they just say it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And you saw the same thing tonight. No matter, every time Trump would basically triangulate him on something that normally the media would run with, Biden's response is like CNN, right? Just discount it. Oh, it doesn't happen. It never happened. Basically, it's gaslighting. They gaslight the entire way. And the thing is, like you said in the beginning, you're not going to move the needle on this because each side has been bunkered down for so long, plus the quarantine issue, in their bubbles for so long. We're literally watching two different realities. And I don't think either side really understood the other. I think one last point on this. Conservatives, I think, understand the left a lot better, just like libertarians. I'm sorry, libertarians understand, you know, both conservative and liberal for the most part, because we have to watch both sides understand ours. Conservatives tend to understand the liberal side more. They get 35% of their news and culture from the left versus the left getting only less than 5% from the other side. So we have, I think our side has more of an understanding of both sides, the lies on both sides, or however you want to look at it. The left has absolutely no clue. They're coming into this just with their own package and bubble. And this is the first exposure that Trump has had. He had a captive audience for the first and maybe only time. We can talk later if we're going to have any more after this. But the captive audience to do something to make his point, and he doesn't work in this kind of environment of just random thinking. So anyway, I think it was a real disservice, and I think it's a shame. I mean, we're all I'm sure everyone's going to vote for whoever they're going to vote for, like Tim said originally. But I think if those 5% moderate votes in the middle either might switch to Biden because he did better than people expected and I think was more poised than Trump with this.
I don't think there is any more.
Or it's going to turn people off. It'll turn people
I don't think there's any more switching that's going to happen. What I am concerned with and have always been concerned with is to not say you're crazy or you're wrong. It is to say that, yeah, you may know what's going on, but none of your neighbors and none of your friends, nobody else did. You're being gaslighted. You're the dumb one. And everybody else knows what they just saw on the debate of blah, blah, blah. When they can plant that doubt in your mind and go, it didn't change me. But yeah, it probably changes a bunch of other people. Biden wins. So I'm, and the contention on the election after with all this mail-in stuff, that's by design. You know, there is, whether Biden wins, you know, fine, loses, fine. But either way, they're going to be, you know, counting this for a long time because that's the left plan. That was their plan from the beginning. We're going to have this contention, these riots, this.
Yeah, they want the COVID. The
chaos. You know, this is the one thing that was interesting to me. And I keep saying this, we've done this for a long time. Trump has no hardcore principle. There isn't this one thing. It's all America first or, you know, I did this. I did done a lot of good things, I think. You know, a lot of stuff he should have addressed more, I think. And embracing the economy, we all thought that was the stupidest thing ever. Because
there'd be no football if it wasn't for me, no football. Just Ohio, just pointed out.
So, you know, it's just – and the issues that were brought up, there was not a mention of Federal Reserve and that they even exist.
Let's go back to what you just said about the left.
And I didn't even say anything about him not going into any wars.
The Fed only owns 1/3 of all mortgages now, Ernie. The stock is 2/3.
Go ahead.
About the left's plan, where you said about vote counting and extending the vote count. It's not even about counting the votes. Counting the votes is the cover. The left's plan is to tie this up in the courts for so long and in so many venues across the country. They're going to tie it up in hundreds of counties, half the states, state Supreme Courts, district courts, Supreme Court. They're going to litigate this to the point that the RNC and Trump are forced to concede. I mean, that's the left's plan.
Why would they be forced?
Nonsense is a cover. Well, because they have more money for that, right? They got the Soros money. They got all the billionaire oligarch money. They're just going to litigate the crap out of it until the RNC and Trump, they're out of ammo. They're going to have to.
My understanding is they only go until Inauguration Day. And then after that, the Congress gets to vote.
Yep. I think they're going to run out of ammo before then. I think they're going to end up, you know, if they can't prevail in a court of public opinion and they can't prevail in some of the initial court cases, it's going to be all over because they'll just open up the Democrats will open up the litigation in 1,000 different venues and paper cut them to death, and they have more money to spend in court, and that's the real plan. The vote nonsense, the vote cloud is just cover.
You know, Frank, is Tarzan there?
He left. He decided to go dancing. He was tired of all the bickering.
Absolutely.
And he'll be back.
I would have done it.
Yeah, but Tarzan's coming back soon, though, so we can get his interview. By the way, before we go on, I did ask a couple family people who are not as tied into this, and I was asking them, without my biased opinion, how they thought it was going. And they thought that it wasn't the greatest, but that Trump wasn't doing that bad. So it was interesting because I thought that it was much worse for him, just the whole package, but kind of – a few people I talked to, you know, not like our group, didn't think it was as bad as I thought. So, yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was bad. It was just normal. You know, it's just outquitted and blah, blah, blah.
We were all expecting, you know, like a Mike Tyson instant knockout, going to, you know, rip his baby's head off and eat it, you know, right. Holyfield type stuff. And that didn't happen. But, you know, I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for Ernie after all these years of having people like Bev Harris and John Brakey and people breaking down all the fraud of the entire system. And now just to know that, you know, it could all be solved through, you know, blockchain voting. We could have it tomorrow where we know through a public-private key if your vote is really counted. But, you know, as Lennon said, it's not who votes, it matters. It's who counts the votes. Hey, Derek. And it's just, but not that, like, voting even matters or any, you know, it's obviously it's a whole fraudulent system. And, you know, and you and I were, Ernie and I were both delegates this year to the Libertarian Party, and what a waste of time that ended up being. And I think both of us really were doing it to try to, you know, reclaim the word libertarian and what it means to be libertarian. And now you have Joe Jorgensen who, I mean, look at how low the bar is right now, where he was out there saying that Alan Dershowitz was on her short list of VP SCOTUS nominees. And then you have, you know, Weld in 2016 talking about banning handguns. I mean, it's just a complete joke. But the thing is, to Jeff's point, there's no discussion of the Federal Reserve, no discussion of any of this stuff. It's all outquitted, all bullshit. And just to know, almost all of us on this panel were talking about election fraud 4 years ago and talking about how it could all be solved with blockchain, and guys like Colin Cantrell like already basically have the answer to this, and just to see nothing being done and really the answers that they have aren't even answers. But, you know, it's all fraud anyways, but I at least would like to have the like an accurate vote of the fraud. I don't know, just, you know, call me old.
You guys understand this is the end of libertarianism too. I mean, libertarianism is kind of like the Garrett of the 2020s. Libertarianism is done. I mean, you can have your convention, you can put the signs, which I love, and you know I support.
Not libertarianism, libertarian party.
Actually, they didn't even have a convention.
Joe Jorgensen called me. Joe Jorgensen called me, and because I was a delegate, and I've known her for a long time. She's, you know, for your support, yada, yada. I'm going, are you going to support an in-person convention? And she's, well, we got it. I go, look, I'm waiting for somebody to leave. I could see where this COVID thing was going. I go, I need somebody to go bite me. We're going to have a peaceful protest campaign rally or something. The fact that Trump is even doing that, I give him kudos just for doing that. But the leadership and conviction is missing. And I don't even... You know, when Trump is talking about COVID, he's going, oh, no, I closed it faster. I did this. I did that. I'm going, how about Sweden? How about bite me? You know, everybody peace out and let me know how it works out. You're free. And then, of course, they do better. Freedom is never the answer with these guys. It's always control. Yeah. It's just who controls. So I'm like, no. I vote no. Well, before, you know, Derek went and took a shower real quick after he had to have one after the debate. But the, you know, so give your impression of this whole, because you don't listen to this crap.
No, I haven't watched the debate for ages. And last debates I watched, I mean, way more professional. I mean, this was just nonsense. And they weren't talking about anything that.
Derek's coming really low right now.
Talking about anything that was a role of government. It was in every question, at least in the first 2/3 of it, went back to COVID, which is nothing the government has any control over anyway. No, but pretending that they do. I mean, it's just nonsense to me. I think I initially said I just feel like I'm getting dumber. I wanted to walk away.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to walk away. We committed. Yeah. I mean, I was looking forward to this. You know, conversation. I mean, the fact that I had to go through that was just – and we rushed. We were at his workshop doing a bunch of stuff. Oh, we got to get ready. We got to get going. We're getting everything. We go, yeah. Oh, for that? You know, I mean, for that? So the bet is, one, I am shocked that there even was a debate. And
my theory was that Mike was going
to
die.
It's super hard to hear Derek. I don't know if it's just me. But you guys, it's like Romans arguing about the founding principles of the Republic during the time of Caligula. I mean, it's nonsense.
We're in the time
of Caligula. Yeah. So what are you going to do about it? We're on the downside of the empire slope.
Well, you know, this is one thing good, because I don't need an empire. But this is, you know, we're on the, you know, for listeners, a lot of listeners here know, we're on the Love Bus Liberty Tour. And I'm traveling the country, avoiding the large towns and going through small towns all across the United States. And what I'm looking for are the small communities that are going to survive whoever gets elected, whatever happens, whatever COVID, whatever crash of the dollar, whatever, whatever, whatever. Because it's like watching an episode of The Waltons, you know, good night, John Boy. There's a depression. Well, I didn't know that. We got chickens. I mean, you know, so this is, you know, I'm looking forward to the decentralization of everything. So I got to applaud the entire system for making my freaking point that they don't matter. It just doesn't matter. And oh, Frank's freaking, but you know, this is so example of the answer is in us and the individuals and families and communities and, you know, groups of, you know, less than 200 people. I mean, it's just, you know, take care of yourself, but what do I got hanging over me? This cloud of ouch quit it, of how many trillions of dollars they're going to take from me and they're going to, you know, run my life, you know, and distribute it to their favorite, whatever the hell, you know, law and order. I don't need a bunch of law enforcement telling me what to do, but I sure as hell don't need a psychologist showing up at my front door telling me how crazy I am. So, you know, I'm
you need to be in a place where you can take your way, and you need to be in a place where they can't take trillions of dollars from you. And don't let them take trillions of dollars. It doesn't matter who's going to go. They're going to try to take money from you.
Well, they're going to take money from him, and he's not even in the country. Yeah, so I'm just like, you know.
They gave up the money.
But, yeah, you know, I actually talked to a guy today. He's a friend of my boss, and he's an investor, but he actually comes from Bosnia, and he lived through the 1992 to 1995 war in Bosnia, you know, the suffering through starvation and all everything that comes. And he's like just warning me. He's like, you know, I've been hoarding guns. I have all this food, all this water, and nobody wants to listen to me. That everybody trusts the government here. I don't get them, you know. Like he said, he's trying to, you know, say a warning on what happened over there, because you had that clash between the left and the right, big time over there, fascists and communists, you know.
Well, where is he now?
He lives here in Winnipeg, yeah, and he's a successful businessman. But he is really worried about, you know, what he saw there at the start of in 1992, you know, the war really started down in Yugoslavia. And then you need to have, you know, food and water. That's the number two things. And then you need to have guns, he said, or else somebody's going to steal that from you. That's what I learned, at least, he said, during a crisis. And that's what you see, like, on the downslope of the currency crisis. Like, Canada is going to enter it before the United States, because you're going to have the sub, you know, the little minion states first, you know, getting hit. And then, of course, the United States will be after that, of course, with the currency failure. But what you're going to see first is, of course, what is happening now in Canada, where we've just gone apeshit crazy. And we have, you know, we went from a $600 billion debt to now in just under like 4 months, we, you know, tripled it to $1.8 trillion. Think about that. If you did that in American terms, you guys would have like $50 trillion in debt right now, to compare it to, you know, Canadian numbers that we have. So we're really, you know, on the precipice here of something crazy. And of course, you know, extending and letting people be in the unknown. People hate the unknown. You know, everybody wants to be safe and feel comfortable. When you put that out there, you know, have a contested election, this is just perfect, you know, rocket fuel for the riots and all the craziness that they want in order to put in and, you know, strangle every citizen even more with, you know, what we're seeing. Like, listen to what they said. Like, there was not very much there that would give me, you know, that you guys are going to have more freedom if, you know, either Trump or Biden gets elected, right?
Yeah, I want to ask John Q on this one. You got conspiratorial, you know, lineage in your thinking. You know, so I'm wondering, after this election, regardless of who wins, What do you think is going to happen? Where's this country going?
You know what I think. The quantum AI singularity comes in 2031. You know, we got 11 years before the birth of the beast. And I love the 200, you know, people, small town idea. But when you're blanketed with FLIR-based drones and a blanket surveillance network, and you can't travel without your forced medication vaccination passports, you know, that doesn't really help. Like, we're all in the same boat.
I mean, being watched by your new Ring Amazon drone in your house?
Yeah, but I mean, it's they're already here. And so, you know, what do you do when what the media is doing? You know, we could talk about lies like Frank does, but it's more sinister than that. They're pre-reading history in real time into the quantum AI's memory bank, and they know they're doing that. So the facts don't matter. They're simply, in a sense, they're programming the quantum AI that's yet to be born in 11 years. And so they're going to do and say
garbage
whatever
in.
They have to do to pre-write the history books in real time as they go. And that's exactly what they're doing. So if you take your political sense out of it and kind of observe it kind of as an alien might, right? The alien would think we're insane, but if you look at what they're attempting to do in the longer run, right, it makes perfect sense from their perspective.
There's a future plan for us. All right, Bob, what do you think the future plan is? What are you prepping for? It's
Project 2045.
Well, yeah. Well, one, going back to Leah texted me, and she said the same thing you did. She goes, she felt stupider for watching that. She goes, that was horrible. What the hell was that all about? So just another, somebody out of the group kind of thing with their mindset was they saw the same thing. But, I'm really kind of up in the air where I think it's going to go. I think it can really take a dark turn with where we're going. I look at it on the short term. That's why I'm out gardening every day. You know, I'm honing my skill because I'm thinking it's going to be needed. You see these revolutions wherever they happen. What do they do to the people they want to get rid of? They starve them. That's you look back through history. That's the way you cull your population. There's a great culling coming.
Great culling a coming. All right, Mr. Tim Pachote, Liberty Advisor. You know, advise us. What you know, that you got some stock purchase changes here? I mean, you know, is there like, you're still in the stock market? I mean, you know, what are we supposed to be doing?
I mean, I don't think there's anything that's, hold on. I wasn't live on my other channel. Okay, yeah, I don't really think there's anything we really learned from this debate that we didn't already know in terms of like stock purchases or anything like that. But, people are talking about keeping people safe. Have you guys heard that Joe Biden ad where he's like, you know, black people, white people, Native Americans, Asians, Latinos, Mexicans, I want to be your president. Mr. President, there's people dying of COVID and they just want to be safe. Like, and then he's just, you know, pandering to every single, you know, basically demographic that's out there. It's just,
except mom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think what John Q was talking about in regards to, you know, the singularity and transhumanism and everything that's coming down the pipeline. I mean, I think that it really is, you know, one of the biggest subjects that's out there. And, you know, it's all this output bullshit, political footballs that get us distracted on, but none of it really matters in the grand scheme of things. And it's more just fodder. It's just, you know,
Dr. Frank, what do you think?
Fiddle of my Rome burns.
Do you feel better that, more likely Trump's going to win, less likely, don't care, doesn't matter, what?
Well, I think this debate probably took some, maybe a couple points from him, to be honest. I think the biggest hurdle, the only hurdle really that you and I had a disagreement, and I had to have a stiff drink before, and I said last week that Ernie was right. I actually agreed with you that I think the Supreme Court issue was nowhere near as big as I thought it was going to be. I thought the tactic was a little off, but I think you were right, and the president was right of what he did, not to get into that whole discussion we had on the Trump report. I think that was his biggest obstacle. I don't think this is. I think it let a lot of people down. I think people who were – I mean, look, even Joe Rogan famously said that this would be Mike Tyson battling a toddler. I mean, that was his famous quote Tim Pool said over and over. And not that I was that overly optimistic for that. I think they were overplaying that. But the entertainment value was not even there. The education level was not there for anyone.
A couple
random points on this. First, just to reiterate a little bit more succinctly, hopefully, because when you asked me last time, I had a little distractions here. It's almost like you've got two people that haven't seen each other in 2 years, you know, with so much that they have been built up that they want to talk about. It's sort of like Ernie and I after 1 week of Trump news. The whole week goes by and then we both are like, brr, kind of like just blowing out everything that we've been keeping up all week. But this has been months and months or years in some ways of each side with their multiple scandals and interpretations and iterations of their version of reality. And each side, including their base, was like, trying, just waiting, chomping at the bit. I can imagine all the MSNBC viewers saying, yeah, stick it to Trump and tell those Trump voters that don't understand. They just don't understand the truth that Trump lies all these times. And people are Republican thinking the same thing. Why isn't Trump going after and saying this and this? But the format did not allow it. There's just too much pent up anger and misunderstanding on both sides. I'm not saying the ones, you know, I'm just saying this, we're in two different worlds. It didn't come through. One example, by the way, talking to a voter fraud that I was getting off my chair, kind of getting upset about, was the, when you talk about voter fraud, and he was not going after the most obvious current example. I'm sure all of you know a few days ago, the Project Veritas thing that came out, right? That whole thing of Project Veritas. I mean, that's right there. He could have just plugged Project Veritas right there. That scandal, it's all filmed. I mean, that was on a silver platter, and he didn't mention, no matter how many interruptions he did. So stuff like that really frustrated me, that he didn't think ahead to prepare for these little dingers that he could have done. I have a question for all of you. Before you answer, I have a little guest star here. Tarzan came back from a dance class, but I want to throw out to you to think it over. How much do you think that this helped Trump or hurt him, or did nothing at all to move the needle? So while you think that over, say hi, Tarzan.
Tarzan! Hadman!
Love you, okay. Long time, guys.
No. You got to input. I mean, for the nano moments that you were watching the debate, are you better for it, worse for it? What?
It doesn't matter.
That just doesn't matter! No! I win. Guys, good to see you, Tarzan.
Likewise.
He's still upset that Hillary lost. So anyway, so what do you guys think about?
I don't think it's moving the needle too much for anybody.
My position is that I think it was Trump's opportunity, because in the 16, nobody was an incumbent president that was running. And then, of course, Hillary, whatever. But I think Trump had an opportunity to come off very presidential, a leader. He could have touted all of his whatever the hell he wanted and not taken the time to try and counter every stupid thing that Biden said. He was always going after Biden for what he said and did and the lies and distortion and the media, blah, 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 instead of, you know, taking the time to talk about what he wanted to talk about. And that's where I think he falls flat. You know, I think he does genuinely, you know, America first, whatever the hell that means, and, you know, policies that would be better for business and so on. But he meddles. He meddles in, like, the COVID thing. He meddles in a lot of stuff that he thinks gives him good optics, you know? And I'm just, if he would care less about that and more about substance, you know, like the Federal Reserve, you know, the economy, the dollar, the, you know, manufacturing. You know, he wasted so much time on the other crap, you know, my great economy and all that kind of stuff. I would have loved to hear more about tax policies and who was incentivized to move back and why and how much, blah, blah, blah. You know, freedom's answer was the freaking question. He didn't. And I fear that the reason he didn't is he doesn't emphasize its importance enough, and that he showed his ego, that he showed that he, you know, he can't be personally attacked without going after you, and he's going to call you. And in the beginning, they're both calling each other liars. You know, liar, no, you're a liar. No, your pants are on fire. I mean, you know, I'm like, seriously, this is what I had to contend with for president of the United States.
And Biden called him a clown too. Don't forget that.
Everybody saw this. Well, he had to get it off. It was on his checkbox. You know, it's going to be in an ad.
Twitter space. Couple things for the Twitter space. Some good comments is the bar was low for Biden, and he met it. The bar was high for Trump, and he maintained. Edge goes to Biden. That's one. Another one is Trump debated to a Twitter audience tonight, not the elderly voters who aren't in the weeds on these issues. Big mistake. And then you're right, Ernie. Chris Wallace, though, I think it was designed to play to Trump's
huge defense, mistake. Which
is to get them all tied up in details that don't matter. Because he needs, he's trying. Let me restate what you said, Ernie, but in different terms. Trump was trying to score some layups. He was just shooting layup. And Biden wasn't playing the game, and he took a couple 3-point shots and hit him. I mean, so, edge Biden, but I don't think it made a big difference.
Do you think Biden's going to agree they're going to have another debate?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean,
Biden better quit while he's ahead.
Based on tonight, probably, because the Biden camp's probably pretty pleased with his performance. I think they'll probably take one more shot at it.
The second highest up link on Drudge right now is Wolf Blitzer. I wouldn't be surprised if this was the last one. Is the second highest link right now on Drudge for?
Yeah, because if I was Biden's people, I'd be thank God, man, he didn't explode on stage or something.
Or die.
or keel over. So take the win and we're done. And Trump would be like, oh, I want, but Trump's happy with doing 50 gazillion rallies, because, that's what he does. And, but
Ernie, I point out, think about, we never had a chance to talk about the negotiations that probably went into this debate. I mean, keep in mind, to have Chris Wallace, Fox News, think about it, to have Fox News be able to be the guy to do it, and the different ground rules, there were 6 segments, and I'm sure each side got to pick 3. So one of the reasons, as an example, there's no Federal Reserve question, is that the Republicans and Dems each only got three topics. So you can imagine.
He can say whatever he wants. That sure as hell be in the economic discussion.
Well, the back and forth, again, the way that Chris Wallace is doing this, the format, and Trump's inability to have long form, it was a disaster that way. But keep in mind, those questions were aimed to be, obviously, him with the defense, and I think Trump just didn't pick the right topics or really get to know his material before going out there to focus on a narrative and have it memorized. He just doesn't know how to do that. Anyway, sorry, there was other things behind the negotiation. For instance, Biden was asking for breaks. He wanted a break after every 2 segments, and Trump's team said no. Trump's team said that we wanted to seriously to do drug testing and actually look in his ear for any speakers or a microphone.
And they denied that.
And he actually did it. And Biden's people at the last minute said, no, we deny. I mean, this negotiation is going back and forth. So if it's Fox's person, Chris Wallace, now, and if Biden did well right now, one part says quit while you're ahead, because Trump's going to learn from his mistakes for the follow-up big time. At the same time, the follow-up will be a liberal host. It'll be MSNBC or CNN person, which certainly is not going to go to Trump's advantage. So,
well, this whole thing is get the optics. Would. This whole thing is get the optics to say, oh, it's Trump's channel, it's right-leaning Fox News, and even the Trump moderator doesn't agree with Trump, and then so that way it's going to score more
Wallace
points for
is
them.
My favorite, anyway. So,
I agree.
Yeah, nice. But I mean, how come nobody points out Fox News is owned by, like Lachlan Murdoch, who is, pals with Alexander Soros, who, is an Australian liberal. And so you got all these 80-year-olds down in Sun City and everyone else in the country who, revere Fox News as this, the holy grail of conservatism, when it's all just a huge psyop.
They don't talk about the issues that matter. None of them do. And this is what, it's like the entire media landscape, politicians, everybody is playing their fiddle while Rome's burning, literally, and they're not talking about the real issues. And when the closest we got to anything is Antifa is not a philosophy, he's like, oh, it's a philosophy. It means nothing, Yeah, well, that philosophy sucks, So and you're going to counter it with what? No, it's bad. Well, what's your counter? This is, why, it's good to bring, and Dr. Paul's doing well. I heard that after his stroke, you said he was on again today.
I heard he was on Liberty Report again today.
Oh yeah, he did the Liberty Report, guys. Yeah, he's
cracking. Yeah, does he sound okay? He's good.
Oh yeah.
See, what the media and the system does not want is a clear message that is based on an understandable principle that is widely supported, that puts the individual in charge. They do not want that. And it's rare that somebody will give it to us.
The smallest minority.
Yeah, down to the individual. You want the spot. And that would be a perfect phrase that I've used oftentimes. Oh, I had the Southern Poverty Law Center on. There you go. Blah, blah, blah. I go, hey, man, I'm for the smallest minority. What? Me, you know, the individual. Oh, you can't do that, you know. So these things roll off our tongues and they're widely supported. Dr. Paul demonstrated that, but the machine does not accept it. They can't because there's something else afoot. And Trump, I think, has got a bead on some of this stuff. I think he's immersed in it. I think he sees it, but he hasn't been able to articulate what he's doing because he's not consistent in his policies. You can't use the empire and the force of government, the big ass military, to go make people do whatever and get what you want and still advocate for freedom. You know, I mean, it doesn't work that way. You know, somebody, you know, they're not willing to just say, you know, you're free and I'm going golfing. You know, oh, you should stop going golfing. Hell, I wish he'd golf more. Go golfing, man. Hell, Obama did. You know, go golfing, leave me alone. So I'm not inspired. You know, so I just want to, you know, we'll do a final round here. You know, I gotta get to bed, but, you know, let's start with John Sneisen. You know, go ahead and tell me what you think is going to happen between now and the election and beyond. I mean, your view of what we're going to be living through and what impact this debate had on what, I mean, just give me some clairvoyance here, what we should be looking at.
Well, looking at from the outside, I see like zero impact that this debate would have on anything really. And what I really see is going to happen is just a lot more stimulus is going to come. This whole COVID crisis is going to drag out. They really want to drag it out to like 2022, 2023. You're going to see so much more, you know, our freedoms go away. Like I'm into like the low voltage field and security and all this. And I just read the Canada Security Journal. Everything that they could talk about in there was COVID security. How are we going to push this out to the public, to the customers, in order to, you know, implement the COVID thermal scanners, all this fun security stuff that they really want to push out. And last, you know, what we really got, I highly suggest every of you, if you haven't seen it yet, you've got to go to this page and share with every single person you know. It just shows you the whole monetary policy of the Federal Reserve and all the United States, and it's called BRRR.money. And if you want to take a look at B as in Bravo, so BRRR.money, and you'll find this great because this really explains what's going to happen next. What the Federal Reserve is doing, and it's going to explain it in very clear terms.
It's money printer go burr.
You could actually set up the, you know, how much money they print, and then it goes more extreme, and you could put on some music there. Serious. This is where we're going, and I just believe like now we had, you know, we were talking about this last show I did with you, Ernie, and I was talking about, you know, the fighter jets coming in now with, you know, directed currency, you know, on the problems with all the people that are, you know, unemployed, everybody that is in moratoriums, you know, that are extended their debt payments and all this fun stuff. That's going to come to an end. Or they could just keep on brewing, as it shows there, forever. And then you're going to just have to, at the end, just carpet bomb the economy with currency, and it's going to be the end of it. And I think that's where we have to go, unfortunately, because, you know, printing money doesn't, of course, solve inequality, as, you know, Federal Reserve says that they're fighting. It does the total opposite. You're just going to have a wider divide between people, and it's not going to end well, because unless we actually educate ourselves, and I got to tell you a quick story, because I live, you know, outside of the city quite a bit. And now, of course, on a, it was funny. It was on the same week, every single freaking province in Canada implemented mandatory masking in public spaces. But I live, of course, I live, you know, 80 kilometers out of the city. So I'm 2 kilometers away from the mandatory mask use. And they actually put down, so you can only gather 10 people now. And it's, you know, the, all those gatherings and everything that they, you know, put in place, that is there for a reason. So they could stop you from, you know, voicing your opinion and be out there and meeting people and actually talking about what the heck is happening to us as we were just getting crushed and losing our freedoms on such a grand scale right now, worse than 9/11.
Okay, John Q, give us your impression of what we should be worried about, concerned, what you think this had an impact of clairvoyance of future or what. Go.
All right, I'll be quick. Dark winter 2020. Mandatory vaccines for kids to go back to school. Travel, internal travel passports, tracking your vaccination. Luciferase. And then, you know, those kids' old punching bags, like they were the big plastic things that looked like a bowling pin, you know, and had the sand at the bottom and the kids.
Yeah, you knock them down, but they get back up.
Yeah. So the Democrats are going to keep doing that to the Republicans with massive vote fraud stuff popping up around the country. Republicans will be in constant react mode. And it's not even about the votes. That battle's lost. It's going to be about the court cases and it be tied up in court for months, cutting the Republicans with 1,000 paper cuts till they run out of resources and are going to be forced to concede.
Concede what? I mean, what are we going to be conceding to?
The election.
If you can't not even after the election. I mean, it's going to be let's say the Democrat Biden's in charge and Kamala and they're doing whatever, the states are going to go, oh, okay, I guess you guys are in charge now, we're done. You know what I mean? There's not going to be, you know, any balkanization. They're not going to, you know, secede. They're not going to, they're just going, oh, okay, you know, the state's going to rise up against, or individuals going to rise up, or we're just all drones now. We're all NPC with our masks.
Like Mitt Romney or John McCain or any of them, they had Bob Dole, and not to mention, I mean, once someone who's lost twice, you know, who's ran and lost twice, which is Joe Biden. You've got the primary numbers where whoever does best in the primary always wins.
Hasn't he actually run like 3 times?
You've got the what's that?
Hasn't Biden actually run 3 times? So I think he ran.
Well, this is his third time. Also. This is his third time. And then if you look at the primary results, right? I mean, whoever does better in the primaries, and the primary was definitely done best by Donald Trump. He won, you know, in his time. Matter of fact, more people showed up for Trump in this past primary. And he wasn't even, I mean, he's unopposed. And more people stood in line in the freezing states in order to cast a vote for him than they did Joe Biden. People didn't even show up for those elections, even when Bernie was on the ticket.
Now also, they're all Biden, dead from coronavirus.
Biden came in fourth and fifth place in Iowa and New Hampshire. Now, I'm not trying to just be all cute about history, but every single metric, Trump is winning that. Not to mention the enthusiasm gap, the fact that he's the incumbent. I mean, there's even more numbers I can point up or parts of history that I know he's going to win, not a problem. And as I've told Ernie, even if he wins by he can't win by a few hanging chads like last time. This election has to be definitive. If not, even if he wins and squeaks by, it's still a loss in my book. This has to be definitive because ultimately it's not about policy, and which is what Ernie and I go back and forth on. This is a culture issue which goes beyond this. This is nationalism versus globalism. It's a larger issue. So in order to show nationalism or a culture, whichever direction we go, we want to be, it's like if we want to be socialist, I'm okay. I mean, I don't want it, but let's just all just vote 80%. Let's have a mandate at least. And we all agree that's the direction. So I can get my passport in order and get the hell out of here. I just want to know what direction that we're going in. I think many Americans feel the same way. So I do think that that is coming. I think the Supreme Court issue has changed all the shenanigans or much of it that all of us were talking about. And the proof of that, or that I think the hint, guys, is Mitt Romney on Monday you know, the one deciding vote about the nomination, he decided, of course, you know, because he, I mean, he's not going to go to Mormon hell if he turns around and votes for the first conservative Supreme Court in, what, 70 years. So, of course, he's forced, as much as he hates Trump, to vote for it. That was on Monday. The whole world was waiting to see what his choice would be. The minute he said he was going to go with the Supreme Court justice on Tuesday, the very next day, which comes after Monday, of course, is when the Democrats began changing their tune to not doing mail-in ballots, to go in an about-face saying, now you need to show up at the voting booth and trying to get everybody at the voting booth. And the reason, in my opinion, that about-face happened was simply because they know they don't have the Supreme Court now for all these shenanigans. That I agree, John Q, that is something that I completely know that they have set up to do. But I think betting the entire election on gumming it up to the Supreme Court and Roberts, who I think had a couple flights on a certain island personally, but that's another story, that they, you know, they were counting on his indecisiveness or favors again, and that ship has sailed. So I think that's why the Democrats don't have the thumb on the scales as much as some of you might think, because they wouldn't be acting this crazy and turning off so many voters and now changing their tune right after Mitt Romney did his thing. So I'm a little more optimistic.
I really do. I hope you're right.
Yeah. I love you, man, but I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, no, I tell you, my concern is that people are way too much looking at this furthering the betterment of their lives, that their opinion, really, they care about it, that they're in charge of their own destiny, that, you know, they're thinking that this election selection is somehow relevant to their lives. And of course it is, and how much freedom they're taking away. But, you know, I live in an anarchist existence. I get up when I want. I do what I want. I go where I want. I don't wear masks. You know, I go, if a restaurant requires me to wear it the 13 feet between the desk and my table, you know, screw you, and I walk out. So we have a lot of power with our money. We have a lot of power with our opinion. We have a lot of power with a bunch of signs that we're making. But the thing that I'm more concerned with is that people think they don't have this power. You know, they don't see it. They don't understand it. They're looking for somebody to give them something and give me freedom, or give me a job, give me a job, give me opportunity, give me equality, give me. Stop. It's not, you know, raise your kids, man. You know, this is the sickness that I've seen all my adult life. And that's why I'm like, I get involved in politics a lot. I'm an activist. I'm out there. But the main thing is never for any one person or anything, certainly voting. Even the Ron Paul Levolution wasn't about voting. It was a message. Watch Trump's message. I'm not America first. You know, I need to know what he means by America. You know, Frank and I go on about this all the time. I'm like, you know, America Inc., America Culture, America Geography, America, you know, Documents, America, what the hell does that mean? And great, you know, okay, what's great? I got a bigger mushroom cloud in my zipper? I mean, you know, what are you talking about? So I'm just not, nobody's answering the real questions. So I'm counting on the American people. And I count among them, you know, you, even John. You kind of said my American. But anyway, so I'm like, you know, I North America. But I'm looking for the people to just fix themselves. I don't need to fix a America or society or anything else. Just me and my family. And that starts with having enough food for when they do something stupid, because they control you, you know, when you're hungry. So I was very disappointed tonight that I didn't see a shred of truth, a shred of vision, a shred of anything. It was outsquitted, you know, Bart and, you know, Lisa Simpson sitting there poking each other, you know? So I'm not a fan. Has everybody got to have their last say?
I think Bob is left.
Bob, go.
Yeah, no, I believe if the he doesn't win the election, the Republican Party won't exist in 10 years, and we're going to be in for generations of slow descent into some really ugly stuff.
Yeah, we'll be like Canada and France.
It's going to get way worse. It'll get way worse than that. Over there also, we were the, they knocked us down. The world's going to go to a dark place. And I think we're at a crossroads. So it's, you know, grow food.
Yeah, I'm, you know, Elon Musk, Mars is looking better. I don't know. I think I like it here. I don't care.
They won't let him get away. They're gonna. This is gonna get ugly if it goes down. They're not gonna let another Trump happen. They have their sights set on something, and they thought I had it sewed up with Hillary. Trump screwed it up. They get in charge again. It ain't never gonna happen again.
I just want a quick echo. I'll tell you, as far as predictors, I think if you want to know what Trump's internal polling really says, because I think they know they have this in the bag personally, but if they don't, if they really think that this could be stolen from them, the test will be whether they dump all of the documents and all the email stuff and all of this. There's like the Durham report. If that comes out before the election, that shows how nervous that they might be. I think, or at least, you know, in my opinion, granted, he'll be a lame duck. He might do it afterwards.
And who's going to
record? You're exactly right. Frank, you're exactly right.
Never seen the light of day.
The doc releases is the bird that they're holding back. You know, Trump promised to release the JFK files that had been, classified for 75 years, and he held them back at the last minute. That's his last bargaining chip, because some of those guys and their family are still alive who were involved in the JFK murder. You know, I think the Durham is just another deep state cleanup to hide stuff, tie it up in pending litigation so it can't be released. You know, they'll give us some breadcrumbs. But some of that little deep state documentation stuff that should have been declassified already, that Trump's holding on to, that's his last piece. That's the signal, the dead man drop, if you will. I think you're right. If he pulls that lever, then we know he's in trouble.
Yeah, I don't like him holding on to this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, I paid for it. It's mine, you know. Freaking government doesn't work. I want my money back. I want my money back. Hey, you got any final words there?
It's just so absurd. I just hope that there's some point. Appears so ridiculous that people start ignoring these clowns. I mean, it's just absurd to me, the whole freaking thing. And John, you know, alluded to, you know, people worrying about the election, about their safety and their security. And I mean, people need to go make their own safety and security and not depend on somebody else swooping in after an election and saving them. I mean, man up.
We're doing a bunch of signs for some activists in Ireland on the COVID thing. And I'm thinking, weren't the Irish like, you know, manly? I mean, what they were like, you know, they're, you know, running around being manly and everything,
generations of war and terrorism and all kinds
and beer drinking. I mean, you know, I was like, don't you guys got a phrase for, like, you know, kiss my butt? You know, I'm Irish or something like that. You know, oh, kiss me, I'm Irish.
Yeah.
Hey, COVID? ? Kiss me, I'm Irish. That's awesome. You know, I'm trying to
make them all. Let people sort them out.
Make out with me. I'm Irish. Anyway, so I'm looking for leadership. And I'm hoping that I find it in individuals. And I think I am. You know, as I'm traveling around, it's individuals, it's people, you know, it's families. It's, you know, it's one person has such an impact on their community and at least their family. And I'm just, that's what is inspiring to me. And I've been so inspired over these last few months by so many individuals. And then I see that and I'm going, neither of them represent any of these people. You know, I need a representation of I'm in charge. And then what happens, you know, days before this, Ron Paul has a mini stroke live on camera. He's right back because he's a man, you know, but
the Fed hadn't been disrupted. The Fed hadn't been taken out yet.
Right? Yeah, he's not done.
I'm not done.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for coming on and suffering through this with me. I don't think I would have done
it. Hey, but I didn't suffer. I'm not a loser like some people because I have my Trump cup with official Trump straw. Trump straw made of plastic, not California biograde stuff.
Nobody's
there we go.
I know. I think Frank's waiting for Trump to save America. You know? Don't wait, man. Don't wait.
Go to California. Go to California with that when you taking
now, Frank. Do we still have our dollar bet that I still think Biden is going to end up pulling this off somehow through voter fraud? So we've got that dollar bet. So
yeah, there's some all kind right, of foot massage right. thing going on that Frank's committed me to on something. I can't remember what it was about, but man, if this is and I hate to see it come down to election fraud. And just so the audience knows, I've argued before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on 44 election laws, you know, from Arizona and on and on and on and on. Yeah, Bob went with me, you know, he took his plane up there. And I'm just like, you know, I don't think I know. I know exactly how they do it. And they've altered and changed it and made it worse since then. I am not feeling comfortable about what they're able to do with mail-in balloting. And it doesn't even go to the people that are just counting it anymore. It's going to private companies to process and do because they're not susceptible to freedom of information like we were doing on the counties. So this is very troubling to me. And Frank and I have got to talk with Roger Stone, which you hope it went to Trump. Well, obviously it got there like 4 years too late because we're like, man, you need to nip this in the bud now because it's down at the county level. All of this agenda, everything, county level. All the stuff that I'm dealing with these different communities and the grants and how your taxpayer citizens and your small community became our tax slaves and whatever. It's all in the minutia of all this little stuff and nobody's addressing it. So I'm looking for a rising up of Freedom's Phoenix. That's what that's all about. From the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch, freedom. And it's you, the individual. Thanks, guys. This was semi-fun. And I don't look forward to doing it again. But we'll talk about it. I'll see you on Thursday, Frank.
All right. See you guys.
Yeah. Bye. Peace, guys. Later. Have a good night. Peace.